So just to let you know, be patient with me, please. We'll figure this out, but I'm terribly excited to have you all in our meeting tonight. Thank you for being here. Okay, we are going to call our meeting to order. Let's see, am I recording? Okay, I am recording. For all of our guests, would you please put yourself on mute if you are not on mute? Okay, we will call our meeting to order. Welcome all to our Tuesday, April 6th Alloway Village Board meeting. Happy to have you all here. Thank you very much. And while I've got you all here, I'm just going to make a real quick comment. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being interested. And the best way to stay informed about what's going on in the village kind of in real time is to go to the website and sign up for the village email list. Villageofalloway.com is the website. If you have any questions or troubles doing that, please call Village Hall and ask to be put on that list, and they will make sure that happens. Okay, we will call our meeting to order. Roll call. Trustee Sampson.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Darth.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
Trustee Genright. I saw you. Trustee Genrich, are you on mute? Okay, I'm going to go find you. Yeah, I see you. Nope. Okay. He was here.
He's here.
Do you see him?
Yeah, I see him.
Okay. Trustee Genrich's here. Trustee Harris?
Here.
Thank you. All present and accounted for. Do I have a motion to adopt or modify the agenda for this evening's meeting?
Move to adopt the agenda as presented. Trustee Sampson.
Thank you, sir. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second.
Okay.
Second, Trustee Harris. Any discussion? We have a motion to approve the agenda and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Announcements. Who wants to do the... Well, Alloway Avenue is going to be under construction, primarily in Bellevue, but from Lime Kiln to East River Drive at this point in time. The project schedule is to begin April 5th, which was yesterday. I saw the cones out there today. And it'll take place in three stages. Lime Kiln Road, west to Target Entrance, is stage one. Two-way traffic will be maintained. Stage two is west Target Entrance to Bellevue Street. The roadway will remain open to westbound traffic only. And stage three is Bellevue Street to East River Drive. And that will allow for westbound traffic, but I know you can go to the county website and get a lot more information on that. But that's coming up, so hopefully that doesn't hurt anyone. But that road needs it badly. Brad, or for my fellow trustees, let me get back to where you are. Any other announcements from my fellow trustees? Any announcements from staff?
The only announcement I would have would be that Trustee Dart is
retiring
after this meeting. Thank you, Penny.
Thank you very much for everything you've done. How many years, Penny?
I'm not sure. 11 or 12, I think.
Yeah. So, thank you very much for that. for your service, and we will have a few more thank yous, I'm sure. Any others, Brad? Okay. We will close the announcements. We'll move on to number four, correspondence. And we have received a couple of petitions. We received a petition in relation to the proposal of sidewalks and roadway narrowing on Roseland Boulevard from in the village of Alloway. The petition read, "We, the undersigned residents of Roseland Boulevard, are opposed to the proposal of sidewalk and the motion for roadway narrowing on Roseland Boulevard in the village of Alloway. We respectfully request that the village board trustees to oppose passing of the aforementioned proposal and plans, and we recommend the following: immediate discontinuance of any actions planned for changes to Roseland Boulevard street design, including addition of sidewalks and narrowing of roadway. Immediate investigation and creation of a plan for repairing sidewalks on Riverside Drive and Webster Avenue, addition of mid-street crosswalks for other safety improvements in the village of Alloway." And it was signed by a lot of people along Roseland. I would say 40 or so. And, okay, give me a second. Okay, and then under correspondence 4B, we received a petition related to the proposed addition alternate plan on Beaumont Street, specifically for the construction of sidewalk in conjunction with the street reconstruction project. And it reads, "We are asking for this to be read at the meeting. Petition will be dropped off at Village Hall. Susan Cervais," I apologize if I mispronunciated or mispronunciated your name, "and myself want to find out how many of our neighbors were for or against having the sidewalk put on Beaumont. The following information was gathered from the petition to determine the number of opposed residents to the alternate sidewalk construction project, specifically on Beaumont Street, where we also reside. Out of 42 homes that live either on Beaumont Street or on a corner of Beaumont Street, two homeowners were for adding sidewalks. Five homeowners could be contacted after three attempts, or could not be attempted, contacted after three attempts, and 35 homeowners stated for public reasons or multiple reasons that they did not want a sidewalk put in. Some of the reasons that neighbors stated were reasons for not wanting sidewalks include: part of the reason they bought their house was because of the trees that have been slated to be removed. Loss of some mature trees and unique trees, such as a crabapple, could devalue our property. Up to 25% of their front yard will be consumed by the addition of the sidewalk. There's little to no traffic on Beaumont. Overwhelmingly, kids are transported by car to the Catholic school. Residents just don't want the sidewalk. Suggest that the money could be better spent for other projects. There's no connecting street with sidewalks on Mission for kids to walk down. Many of our residents are older and would be burdened by the additional care that sidewalks would require." Signed, Kirk Carpenter from Beaumont. And so they had a bunch of people sign that. 50 people signed it. Okay, public comment. And before I open up public comment, I just want to, I'm guessing that most of the people on this Zoom meeting, of which there are many, and I'm thrilled, 67 people, I think that's the most we've ever had at a village board meeting, at least since I've been on the board. All you have to do is say sidewalks, and everyone shows up. Just kidding, folks. What we're going to do tonight, the way we're going to handle this, is public comment is for something to talk about that is not on this evening's agenda. So any comments or questions regarding sidewalks will be handled during those action items on the agenda. I will invite the board or ask the board to, the way we go about it is when we get to an action item, I ask for a motion on the item. And someone will make a motion such as, I move to approve the installation or the plan as presented. That doesn't mean that's what's happening. That's just, we have to have a motion and a second in order to discuss it. So we'll have a first motion. We will most likely have a second. If we don't, we don't discuss it and it goes away. And then we open it up for discussion among the board. What I will do is then ask the board to make a motion to suspend the rule so that we can hear from residents and about that item. So if we're talking about Roselawn, that's all we're opening it up to at that point in time. And if the board agrees to suspend the rules, meaning allowing the public to speak, we will take a vote on that, and then we'll open the floor and we'll find the best way to make sure that all voices are heard on these items. So, without further ado, we'll move on to item 5, public comment. And there's 3 pages of people, so I'm going to do my best. Is there anyone who would like to speak on something this evening that is not on this evening's agenda?
Yes, Jim O'Rourke.
Okay, Jim. Please give us your address, sir.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue, Alloway. I'm the former co-chairman of the Village of Alloway Bike Ped Committee, and I was on the Alloway Walks Committee prior to that. And my question, my comment is 5 years ago in 2015, and when the St. Matthews had the announcement for all the public works street repairs that were going in, I was aware of sidewalks going in a variety of places, and I requested that information be made public, and the village refused to do it. In fact, they refused to give me documents that were drawn by the engineering department. So I would like to see the process for getting the word out improved. The West St. Joseph connection to the Fox River Trail was not finished, and the Beaumont Street sidewalk I was aware of 5 years ago, and that was never made public. So I'd like to see the process improved with regards to getting the word out for sidewalks. And then also, when I was on the sidewalk committee, there were different levels of important sidewalks, routes to school, thoroughfares. Those were designated as being important and necessary sidewalk routes. But side streets were not indicated as important, only crossings for the side streets. So I would like to make sure that in the future that there's a criteria used for what makes a street important. If it's not a main thoroughfare like Webster or Riverside, and if it's not a through street like Green Avenue or St. Mary's, then I would like to know there should be some objective criteria. And if there's no objective criteria and it's not necessary, then it's my understanding under village code that it can't be funded through tax dollars and that it has to be paid for by the homeowner. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak about something that is not on this evening's agenda? Okay, hold on. Raise your hand if you're on page. You don't know what page you're on. But. Okay. I don't see anyone raising their hand. So we will close public comment, and we will move on to item number 6 under new business. Action regarding 2021 sewer lining bid for St. Mary's Boulevard, Roselawn Boulevard, and a sewer in easement between Beaumont Street and Slew Lane. And before I turn it over to Sean, our director of Public Works, last year or the year before, we found a way to save money on many of our sewer projects, which are very expensive when we dig them up, but we found a way to actually line them with a material that is wet when it goes in, and then it hardens to the consistency of sewer lines. And it saved us a lot of money on St. Mary's, and looks like we're going to continue that. So, Mr. Gene, are you there?
Well, thank you. This year we had received three bids for our sewer lining project. Michael's Pipe Service had provided the low bid at an amount of $60,629. As you mentioned before, we will be lining, with your approval, we will be lining St. Mary's Boulevard from Webster Avenue West, 1,400 feet, lining a portion of the Roselawn Boulevard sanitary sewer, and lining the Sioux Lane sanitary and storm sewer. I would make a recommendation to the village board to proceed with the work.
Thank you. Do I have a motion on the item?
I would move to approve.
Mr. Denrick. Do I have a second?
Second.
Trustee Green. Any discussion? Like I said, it's saving us a lot of money, and I'm excited that we have that option. We have a motion to approve the sewer lining bid for St. Mary's Roselawn and the sewer in an easement between Beaumont and Sioux Lane, and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 7. Action regarding AL-2021-01 Street and Utility Reconstruction Bid for Beaumont Street, Green Avenue to Mission Road, and Kelb Avenue, Libel Street to the East River. Alternate number 1, Beaumont Street Sidewalk Reconstruction. Alternate 2, Pump Station Driveway Reconstruction. Okie doke. Why don't you give us a real quick overview of that, Sean?
Okay. Last week, Tuesday, we had opened bids on this project. We had received 8 bids. Soper Sewer and Water was provided the low bid in an amount of $1,696,394, as you had mentioned. The bid also included 2 alternates, one for the construction of sidewalk along Beaumont and the reconstruction of the Cobb Avenue pump station driveway. In the evaluation of bids, we may select any combination of alternate bids. We can select all of them, or we may choose not to accept any. However, if we do choose to accept an alternate, that will be added to the base bid, and that will determine the adjusted total base bid amount and will be used for comparison purposes.
Okay. And how did the bids come in comparison to the expectation?
Much lower. We had estimated the cost of this project at a much higher cost. We had used 2019 pricing. We received great prices.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions from village board members for Sean? Okay. Hearing none. I will accept the motion on this item.
Okay. I move to approve.
Move to approve. And what is it that you want to approve, Rob?
The initial bid that came in from that Sean had recommended. Was that what you wanted, Sean, that bid? Yes.
So what we need is a bid and or a motion to either do the base bid with alternates, because and or supplemental, correct, Sean?
No, supplementals are not part of the analysis of the low bidder.
Okay.
It will be the base bid plus any alternates that we may select.
Okay, and so the alternate bid number one is the sidewalk along Walnut, and the alternate bid two is the pump station driveway.
That is correct.
So, Mr.
Are there breakouts for those two?
That was provided, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
The
sidewalk is 30,763.
Oh, that's the pump station.
The sidewalk is 64,608. Okay. And the base bid is 1.6. So, Mr. Atwood, what would your motion be?
Well, help me phrase this if it's not correct. I would move to approve based on the initial bid that Sean has detailed along with the alternatives.
Okay. That will do it with both alternates. Okay. Do I have a second on that motion? I will second that motion. And before we discuss as a board, I think it's valuable, so I'll make a motion to suspend the rules to allow residents to speak.
I'll second that.
Trustee Sampson seconded. Any discussion? We have a motion to suspend the rules and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, so we're on Beaumont now. Beaumont and Cullum. Is there anyone who would like to speak on this topic?
Yes, this is Kurt Carpenter. Can you hear me?
I can, Kurt. Thank you very much. Could you give us your name and address, please?
Kurt Carpenter, 2532 Beaumont Street.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, I guess I really didn't understand how you guys go about voting on something like this. It looks as if there isn't any stages. It looks like he provided a motion for the base and the two alternatives. There was no motion for just the base. What would happen if you guys had a motion for the base itself and you started out with that direction? Would that conclude the evening for what we want to do with the Beaumont Street? Because it doesn't seem like there's options for other people to second a motion. And there was a lot of hesitation, it seemed like, among the trustees and everyone else that has a voting say in this matter. Two people pushing this forward for both alternatives seems like I don't see where, maybe I'm off on what the next step is. Maybe there's still a vote that has to take place. This is just to bring it out and have a discussion on this. Am I correct?
Yes, and thank you for bringing that up. I spoke about that at the very beginning. What we're doing here, the motion and the second simply allows us to discuss it,
okay,
whatever that motion may be.
Okay.
So as we discuss it, I'm opening it up to the residents right now so the public can speak, give us their opinion. Then we'll close or pick up the rules, so go back into session discussion among the trustees, where we will discuss the pros and cons, and people can feel free then to submit a substitute motion. So this first motion just allows us to talk about it. And then after if we have a substitute motion, then we discuss that if we have a second. And then at the end of all discussion, when we're left with one proposal, and then that's the most current motion that we'll be voting on. And if at the end of that, the seven of us vote, and we vote in favor of whatever motion it was, then that's what we go forward with. So everyone has a vote in the say. Or in the,
Okay. So my concern is also is how this came about. Is the information that the village of Alloway, is it actually is it the information that is from 10 years ago or 9 years ago that we are looking at doing the sidewalk or the street renovation project to begin with? I know that there was a survey, I think, done back in 2012, if I'm correct, and at that time it was decided that we wanted to address this and look perhaps at moving forward with something like this. And then at 2015, there was a committee that was put together for the pedestrian and bike a committee to address this request. But I'm just wondering, we're at 2021, and the landscape of the committee of Alloway perhaps has changed in those number of years, and also what parents do with bringing their kids to school, how many of them are walking, how many of them ride, how many will actually take advantage of the sidewalks, say, within 3-4 years, 5 years from now. Now, we know it takes a little bit of time that things catch on, but I'm just wondering, not that the vision of the village isn't have great ideas, it's just that does it work with would it work with other residents if they were to have said back in 2012, would you want sidewalks put in for the benefit of children walking if it meant putting a sidewalk in front of your house? Would they still say the same thing as the people on Roselawn and Beaumont and the people that are saying, you know what, we really don't want a sidewalk. What do we have to do? Those are my comments.
Okay. Thank you, Kurt. I know I had a request from Mr. Kurt Beiler to speak. Kurt, are you here? Let's see.
I am, but not at this time, if that's all right.
Okay, very good. Thanks. Is there anyone on Rose or Beaumont or Paul who would like to say something?
Yeah, this is Jeff.
Okay, Jeff, can you give us your name and address, please?
Jeff Cromery, 202 St. Matthew Street.
Okay, thank you.
And first of all, thank everyone very much for the opportunity here. The others, I have gone back and reviewed the information, whether it be from 2012 and coming forward, and certainly applaud the way in which the village board now and also in the past have tried to come and make good decisions. I guess what I'd like to do would be to kind of ask some questions as to the thought that went into those, and perhaps reconsider some of the assumptions or benefits. If you take a look at it, first of all, 40% of the people in that survey didn't even live in the village. Of those that did also take the survey, Kurt had mentioned, they were going to be impacted anyway because they didn't live on the streets. So if you were to actually say, we're asking all these people to weigh in on things and only see it from only the positive, and as Kurt had said, so would you want this if this meant a negative impact to your street, to your neighborhood, to your house, without any other options associated with it? And that's driven by the fact that, we obviously want the health, economic, safety, environmental, community improvements. We live here. We want those. But to come up with something that is so desperately, overwhelmingly, you know, negatively viewed, there must be another way. And, you know, if you take a look at all the people out walking, you know, we moved here from Neenah, we had sidewalks, but guess what? Most people rode their bikes on the street, not on the sidewalks. So, you know, that's a conclusion that perhaps, you know, would be helpful to have us rethink what we're doing. So also, you know, in the 2017 report, figure 4.3 doesn't include Roselawn, doesn't include Beaumont. Figure 4.4 all of a sudden includes those. You know, and perhaps it was because we added the weight, you know, of, you know, the heat map of where critical areas are. And certainly the school here, you know, is the reason why it says right in there, we weight this at a 10. So, you know, the school has, you know, changed its number of people, you know, so what is it now? 4 kids, and it's K-4. Those kids aren't going to be walking by themselves. Again, those things have changed, you know, and also, you know, if you take a look at the impact to the street, we're actually getting a smaller street. You're narrowing the street, according to what we measured out front, thanks to Kurt, and then also taking a look at the map. It's 3 feet smaller. So the actual space that people are going to have, and I'm sure it's the thinking is, well, you've got sidewalks to walk on or sidewalks to ride on, but that's kind of the thing that we all use all the time, is actually going to be smaller. You know, so that seems to be a step, you know, a step backward. And, you know, to the impact of coming in and, you know, removing, you know, beautiful old trees, as has been mentioned over and over again. You know, so I guess for those reasons, I'd like to, you know, certainly at least my 2 cents worth, which is very similar to what others have said, that, you know, clearly we have to make improvements to the street and to the sewers. But I would request that no trees be harmed in it, the street does not get any wider, and that we, you know, do not move forward with the sidewalk proposal. I think, you know, it would make sense to say, if there is a benefit to be had for things that are important to the community, let's talk about what that looks like. But why on an isolated street like Beaumont? You know, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And, you know, I mean, the money is $67,000 for this. It's good that we choose to look at these things while we're tearing up the street to make good use of the money, but that's still a sizable chunk of money. So I thank you all very much, and don't want to take away from the good work that was done, but I think reconsidering the assumptions and the benefits and the overwhelming displeasure with this are key things that I know that the board will take into account. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Is there anyone else from Beaumont or Cobb who would like to say something?
I would like to make one more comment, if that's okay. This is Kirk Carpenter again in the 25. Jim O'Rourke brought up something that was a little concerning to me, and that has to do with his discussion on main avenues and throughways that, you know, basically, you know, Webster, Green, and how Beaumont is perceived. If Beaumont or Roselawn or any of these could be contested and where it wouldn't be used for taxpayer dollars, then it looks as if you're the residents of these streets would end up footing the bill. If there's any possibility of something like that, that takes another major leap, I would think, into the pushing of the alternates. Yep. That's all.
What Jim was referring to was for new commercial developments, and they pay for that. For residential streets, we don't assess for sidewalks. Okay, anyone else from Beaumont or Cobb who would like to say something? Okay. M. Gadewski.
Yes, this is Matt Gajewski at 2520 Beaumont. I had sent the message into the village earlier this week, and I just wanted to re-elaborate one point in particular, and that is the comment that Jim made earlier tonight about the main emphasis being on primary streets and main thoroughfares, and Beaumont is neither. I believe I called out in my email that the proposed sidewalk would dead end at Mission, and considering that the main facility that we are looking to serve, St. Matt's, with that sidewalk already has a sidewalk and a parallel street, I feel like that those funds could be better invested in other areas for improvement. And I wonder, in these studies that were done, was the proximity to the sidewalks on Webster factored into the proposals for sidewalks in Beaumont?
Okay. Thank you. And the comments Jim made earlier may have been accurate while he was on the committee, but he was only on the committee for a short while, and the committee continued their work after. So the final document that you see is how they came to the conclusions they came to. But thank you, Matt. Okay. Anyone else from Beaumont or Cullen? Okay. Thank you very much. I'll accept the motion to pick up the rules.
So moved.
Trustee Genrich, seconded by Mr. Harris. Any discussion? We have a motion to pick up the rules in a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Okay. We have a motion to approve the base bid and the two alternates and a second. Any discussion among the board?
President Rafter, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Hampton. Sidewalks near the parochial school. The village has put in sidewalks recently in adjacent to the public schools under the Safe Routes to School program. And I wonder if this is treated, I know there was grant money or federal money available to do that, federal state money. And I wonder if that money is or was available to the Safe Route to a Parochial School, and if it was or if it wasn't, is there any equivalent in village staff's mind that if we're doing it in this neighborhood to get kids to the public school, that maybe we have an obligation or don't have an obligation to do the same to the private school? And maybe that requires speculation. I'll at least ask the basic question about the Safe Routes to School, and if that was meant to encourage routes to parochial schools as well.
I think I can answer that question. In order to be eligible for TAP grant funding, federal funding, the project had to be identified in a Safe Route to School study. In this particular case, 2012, to my knowledge, it was. So I believe it would be eligible for funding if we were to move forward with a grant application in the future.
Can I add something to that?
Yes, Penny.
The principal at St. Matthew's was on that committee at the time for the Safe Route to School. So I know. St. Matthew's participated in it and voiced their opinion what would be good routes to schools, and ours was included.
Thank you.
And that's a 80% federal grant, isn't it?
I believe you're correct, 80-20, if we were to be fortunate enough to get the funding.
And how often do those grants become available?
I believe it's every other year. The other thing, too, would be that we did receive exceptional pricing for the alternate to put together a grant application and be fortunate enough to get the grant, we would have to probably further refine our design, and there would be additional paperwork reports that would have to be submitted to the DOT. We would have to hire a consultant to provide assistance. The cost of the plan prep and other hoops that we'd have to jump through, it would be pretty expensive, but yep. That's a possibility.
I remember that being discussed on the other projects as well. Okay. Thank you. Matthew. You cut out, Matthew.
Okay, I wanted to say thank you to Kurt, Jeff, and Matt for your comments. I got to meet with Matt last week, I believe, go and talk to a few neighbors. Jeff, on your note, or the thing that you mentioned about the Bike and Ped Committee, if I'm reading it properly, the reason certain streets are different on the figure 4-3 as opposed to 4-4 is 4-3 references bicycles and bicycle facilities, and that's not what's showing up in terms of what 4-4 is referencing. So just as a point of clarification, they're looking at two different, for lack of words, modes of transportation. I just wanted to try to clarify there if that will help a little bit.
Thank you. Any other discussion?
Can I make a clarification too? Jeff had indicated that that was his understanding that we would be narrowing Beaumont Street. That isn't correct. We'll be maintaining the existing roadway width. The roadway width today is 30 feet from face of curb to face of curb, and we will be maintaining that existing roadway width.
Okay. Thank you. And Mr. Genrich, did you have something?
Yeah, the 30-foot width allow a bike lane? Or would we have to shift that over? I'm just looking at potential options. That wouldn't be very expensive.
It does provide for space along the outside of the street, what I'll refer to as a shoulder.
Okay.
For parking.
Oh.
I would think the biker would feel comfortable on a quiet, low volume roadway of this type. We don't typically mark those accommodations, but with a 30-foot opening, that would allow for 10 or 11 foot lane and then space on the outside to accommodate parking and pedestrian bicyclist use.
Okay. And not much significant increase. You're talking tape or paint, correct?
I'm told to do so, a lane line that would represent the outside edge of that lane.
Okay.
Any other thoughts from village trustees? Okay, my comments. It's a challenge when people don't want sidewalks. It's a challenge to go and justify doing them. When I look at Beaumont specifically, Beaumont is a street that goes to St. Matt's, and kids go to school there. And I understand that today it's K-4, but not all that long ago it was K-8. And who knows what the future will hold, right? It is also a place for people going to church to walk, many of whom I'm sure live in that neighborhood. So personally, when I look at it and I see a school there and the opportunity to provide safe passage, I tend to be in favor of that for the kids. And all of our other school routes I've supported. And I understand when folks say it's going to encroach on our property. And we all know it's truly public property, but it feels like yours and you treat it like yours, and for all intents and purposes it is. But I think, I find it hard when it's close to a school and or a church and or a business. There's no business here, but it's hard to justify not doing a sidewalk when you have the opportunity to. That's my own personal belief. So, any other comments from
Jim? I'd like to agree with you on the Matthews. I'm very familiar with the property, and I think sidewalks would be great behind that area. They're a place for people to gather. That parking lot gets really small. I think it'd be wonderful for St. Matthews to have that. I was out there with the priest 2 weeks ago and Sean, and we looked at it, and we thought the sidewalks would be great there. So, but again, it's my personal opinion. It's not, but it seems like it'd be a place to gather and a place to walk, and it would be very appropriate. I see people walking to church every day.
Okay. Thank you. Matthew?
Yes. I don't remember which resident made the comment, but I was having this the idea of when our plans were put together, and you can't, it will take time throughout the entire village to put a plan together. You can't just have a plan and do everything within 2-3 years, so there will be a lapse. St. Matthews was through 8th grade when the plan was put together, and now it's K through 4, so we do have a different subsection of kids walking as opposed to some older kids. You have primarily younger kids who are walking to that school. But still want to maybe give them the opportunity. I see the idea of walking, if you're in the neighborhood, of walking to church, but things have changed a little bit since the original plan.
Yep, good point. The decision we're making today, excuse me, is for the next 50 years. These roadways are designed to last that long. So we just don't know how many people will be going to that school, if there will be a school. Any other comments from Village Board?
I'm a big supporter of biking, walking, pedestrian, fitness, wellness, being outside, and all the rest. I'm also obviously sensitive to a lot of the comments from the neighbors and all the rest. It's a tough decision. But as President Rafter just said, it's a decision for 50 years. And I think we'd be remiss if we did not take this opportunity to go ahead with it at this point.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Sampson.
I appreciated the discussion, and President Rafter, your remarks, your reference to the safe schools. If it was a priority for the school on the south end of the village, it should be a priority. And as Trustee Dart mentioned, it was something that the parochial parish also felt important. So, for consistency reasons, I guess while I appreciate the residents' concern, that larger issue of safe routes to school is going to tip the balance for me. And the other thing, I'll just real quick mention a personal observation. I live just across Webster in that neighborhood, and we had two boys go to Webster School, which isn't very far, but we didn't want them walking on Webster, so close to traffic at 35, 40 miles an hour. So really, Webster wasn't an option. And we jiggered our schedules so we could do drop-offs or have a daycare provider do drop-offs. And the people who you know, there are people who might find that very attractive to have a walkable route to school for their new home, their first home in Alloway. So I think that cuts both ways as well. This could really be an added benefit to all homeowners, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Any other discussion from village board members? Hearing none. We have a motion on the table to approve the base bid for Beaumont and Kalb and the first two alternates. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Nay.
Motion passes with Trustee Harris as a nay. Thank you. We will move on to item number...
Can I ask one quick question? This is Jeff Crumright.
Okay, I'll let one quick question. Yeah.
But it's not contrary, so...
Yeah, go on.
If we want to talk about what to do with... You know, there's nothing that's ever said about replacement of trees or anything else. How do I address that concern?
Reach out to Sean Jean, our Director of Public Works. He will be happy to talk to you about that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we are moving on to item number 8 regarding the street and utility reconstruction bid for Roselawn Boulevard from Riverside Drive to the east plus or minus 1,400 feet, and an alternate bid number 1 to Roselawn for sidewalk construction. Do I have a motion on that item?
I'll move.
One second, please. I'm pulling it up. Okay, who made the motion?
Genrick.
Do I have a second?
Well, the motion is to approve the street and utility reconstruction bid for Roselawn Boulevard. Does not include the alternate at this point.
Okay, thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Green.
Second now.
Okay. I will make... Brad, you're on mute.
Yeah, I think first we should talk about the bids that were received.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you. Sean?
Chair, on Tuesday, March 23rd, we had received 11 bids for the reconstruction of Roselawn Boulevard. David Tenner Corp. Provided the low base bid in the amount of $837,049.37. The bids had also included an alternate for sidewalk. Dave Tenner had provided an alternate in the amount of $30,681.98. We can choose to select the alternate, or we can choose not to. If we elect to choose the tenor, we'll also be the low bidder with an adjusted total base bid amount of $867,731.35.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Sean on that project? Okay. We still have a motion. Right, Trustee Genrick?
Correct.
The second. Trustee Green?
Yes.
Okay. I will then make a motion to suspend the rules to ask the residents if they would like to say anything. Could I have a second, please? One second.
Matthew, I'll second.
Trustee Atwood seconded it. We have a motion tabled to suspend the rules and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Yvonne, I saw you raise your hand. Could you give us your name and address, please?
Okay, my name is Yvonne Lee, and I live at 234 St. Francis Drive. So I'm two blocks away from Roselawn Boulevard.
Okay, thank you.
My question, and this is specifically about Roselawn, but it is about the process that I am watching on the screen with the inexperience that I have concerning town meetings. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me sort of unusual and perhaps not necessarily fair that homeowners who number in the 50s or 40s or whatever have already indicated their dislike or the fact that they don't want to have sidewalks, and that a board of seven people is saying, these are my personal feelings, but this is what I want to approve, so that instead of being a representative of the people that they are supposed to be backing, when the people in their area say, 40 or 50 people say, we don't want this sidewalk, they're not necessarily voting the rights of the people that they represent. Or it doesn't seem that way to me. So maybe I'm misunderstanding the process.
Well, I appreciate that, Yvonne. The challenge is that back in 2017, the village went through a series of public meetings and a committee to talk about making Galloway more pedestrian-friendly. And during that time, they came to a design for bike routes, site streets that have an opportunity to be a sidewalk, have a sidewalk. And at that time, it was decided that if we are going to put sidewalks on streets, the appropriate time to do that is during a reconstruction project, because you re-engineer the roadway to allow for sidewalks. And it is much cheaper to do it when you're doing that. So, some folks on Roselawn asked why wasn't Briar Lane included, because it had already been reconstructed in 2010, I believe. And so to rip up the roadway to put in sidewalks didn't make sense. So they made Briar Lane a bike route. So that's, if someone's looking for a bike route map, they can see they can get from east to west along Briar Lane. St. Mary's was also targeted or identified as an opportunity for a street to have a sidewalk, because it was slated at that point in time to be a reconstruction project. It ended up not being a reconstruction project. It ended up being a resurfacing project. So we didn't have to tear up the roadway. So the process, it really started back in 2017, and albeit that's four or five years ago, but we do our best to bring in the public and to get the opinions. And while you're right, we have 50 people on Roselawn not wanting a sidewalk, we have people east of Webster who want to get down to the Fox River Trail. And so for the folks on Roselawn, it's a sidewalk for the community. Whether I agree with any of this or not, I'm just telling you this is how it works. And then, as I mentioned when we were talking about Beaumont, the biggest challenge is we have to look into a crystal ball. We have to try at this point in time to determine what are people going to want from now until 50 years from now. And we have had many requests to make Galloway a more pedestrian-friendly community. So that's why we're here, and that's the process. I know some folks feel, and to a certain extent they're correct, that we weren't as good about communicating the short term, say within the last 6 months to a year, about the project. And COVID is not an excuse, but we're living in a different world, and we did our best to try and incorporate people's comments to let them know. I think in August we sent out a letter saying the project was going to start. We're going to start the engineering. Really, no decisions have been made until tonight. So tonight we will actually make a decision on what to do with that building.
Okay. The first indication that I had that there were going to be sidewalks on Roselawn were the signs that I saw in the front yard. And if that's correct. And I'm not sure who you sent the letters out to.
I'm sorry, go on.
I don't know if they were sent out to everyone in Alloway, or just the people on that particular street. But I actually ended up calling the village hall to get information about it to find out when the meeting was going to be. And I walked this neighborhood extensively, here to DePeer, or St. Francis to DePeer, and down to the reformatory the other way. I have never found the streets to be a hazard in any way or difficult to navigate or... Then I have to ride my, wide, and the boulevard has two-way traffic on it. I understand that you can't look into a crystal ball, and neither can I. But for the 48 years, if you're doing a 50-year crystal ball, I've been here for 48 years, and I haven't noticed any uptick in the traffic, any safety issues, any people, and they have a lot of young families moving into our neighborhood that are out there with their baby carriages and the kids on bikes. We haven't had any problems whatsoever indicating that it's not easy to get down to the trail.
Okay. Thank you very much, Eva. I spoke with Mary Ellen during the week. Mary Ellen,
Yes. First, I want to clarify that you, at the beginning, said that there were approximately 40 signatures on the petition. That is totally incorrect.
Okay,
there
I apologize.
Four of the 58 houses on the street have signed to say that they agree with our petition. Okay. And Yvonne has now just stated that, had she known, she probably would have signed it herself. I did have another resident of St. Francis actually stop me to sign it. I've had two different people, so I personally, I'm one of 58 homeowners on Roselawn, and I've had at least five people that don't live on Roselawn say to me, where's that petition? I'll sign it. It makes absolutely no sense. So your number of 40 was incorrect.
And I apologize for that.
50 some odd, which is a huge difference. And we do have a set way that we're going to present. We're kind of, rather than all of us talking. So, okay. Marlene, you want to start with what we have?
I'm sorry, who is that, Mary Ellen?
Maureen Lossick. I live at 461, and Maureen lives at across the street from me.
Okay, Maureen, are you online?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you. Can you give us your name and address, please?
Yes, Maureen Lawson, 440 Roselawn Boulevard.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for suspending the rules and providing us the opportunity to speak this morning or this evening. We really appreciate it. I just have one question before I even start, which is when you're talking about the bid, the comment is below bid. Is the criteria for selecting a particular bid the lowest bid?
That's one of the criteria. It's also if they're qualified to do the job. If we send out an RFP with all of the requirements and everything, if they meet all of those requirements and people equally meet them or very close to each other, then it's logical to go with the lowest bid.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that it isn't just the lowest bid, because we've seen road repairs that result in a short life. So I wanted to ask that question.
Good point. Thanks.
Yes, what I'd like to do is we have gathered, so this represents many, many, but not all, residents of Roselawn Boulevard. We've had many discussions. You know, it was mentioned the signs in our yards and so on. So you know that we're very active. This is highly emotional for us, but it's also very fact-based. So we want to express our opinions and our desires regarding the reconstruction of our street, the addition of a sidewalk infrastructure, that being with or without sidewalks, because our understanding is the main bid includes the infrastructure, the alternate includes the sidewalks. Therefore, if you approve the main bid, you're approving the infrastructure for sidewalks, which we are against in any way that you look at it. Some of the reasons we're opposed to that include, but this is not all-inclusive, lack of demand. So, as you mentioned earlier, we submitted a petition to the village that shows 52 of the 57 occupied residents are opposed to sidewalks. And when I say sidewalks, I want you to know that I'm referring to infrastructure as well as sidewalks. So I'm going to just put those together and say sidewalks.
Okay.
Of those 57, we have three residents that are currently vacant due to death or someone moving, and two owners that are residing out of state. One returned yesterday, but we haven't been able to speak with them yet. So that is to address the lack of demand from the residents of Roselawn Boulevard. And it was mentioned earlier by Jeff, he mentioned the criteria for sidewalk construction is weighted. I wasn't aware of that until I heard that, but we have looked at the village code regarding sidewalk construction. And one is sidewalk locations, which states that sidewalks are deemed to be a public improvement. The Village Board of Alloway may order sidewalks to be constructed where none previously existed along any street, irrespective of whether abutting lands have been improved, wherever in the judgment of the board, the safety and welfare of the public require it. Cost of sidewalk construction. For new sidewalk installation on high volume routes, school routes, public purpose routes, and other public benefit routes designed and deemed necessary by the village board, the cost thereof shall be paid by the village, as you mentioned earlier. Sidewalk meeting this criteria shall be deemed a public benefit sidewalk. So our question or statement is this. In looking at that criteria, in order to be deemed a public benefit sidewalk, it needs to be a high volume route, which Roselawn Boulevard is not. Brad Lang actually confirmed that thought with us in an email dated March 18th, 2021. In general, most residential neighborhood streets in Alloway are quiet, low speed, and have very little vehicle traffic, approximately 300 vehicles a day. This would lead us to believe that we are not a high volume route. I think we probably could all agree to that. School route. We're not a school route, and we're not part of the Safe Routes to School plan. Public purpose route. There's no definition for public purpose route. And I'm wondering, Jim, if you could define that for us? And if so, what criteria does Roselawn meet to be deemed a public purpose route? And what is the weight of that criteria in relation to high volume route, school route, public purpose, and other public benefit routes?
Well, I would fit in, I'll just give you my opinion, Maureen. The public purpose for Roselawn or any road between Webster and Riverside would be to facilitate people getting down to the Fox River Trail and to walk their neighborhoods.
Okay. So that is your opinion. That's not actual criteria. Does the code contain any criteria? Because it should, and I'm sorry I missed the lady from St. Francis that spoke previously, mm-hmm. did address the fact that you are making decisions based on your opinion. And we have at least 60 opinions that are contrary to yours. So we are looking for literal criteria and the weighting of that criteria. And so I would ask the same question about other benefit routes. What's the definition, not an opinion, but a definition of a public benefit route, and what is the criteria that would deem Roselawn to meet either of those pieces of criteria, because they clearly do not meet the other two.
Okay. Sean, do you... Let's put you on the spot.
I think any sidewalk that may be used by somebody other than the abutting homeowner would be a sidewalk that is benefiting everybody in the village of Alloway. And I think you've already indicated that one of the reasons for this sidewalk is to provide access to those that live on the east side of Webster Avenue.
And so I'm just going to repeat again, because I want it to be on the record and clear, we continue to hear opinions, not facts, not code. And so I'm going to jump to street location in relation to the East River and the Fox River Trail access. Because we totally get it. People want to go to the Fox River, Fox River Trail. I go to the Fox River Trail. Our neighbors do. People I know that live on the east side of Webster do. But we're not a connector street to either trail, not the Fox River Trail or the East River Trail. There's no crosswalk between Roselawn and the west side of Riverside for people to cross at the west end of Roselawn to access the trail. There are known access points, Sunset Park at 642 Sunset Circle, 172 at the perimeter of Heritage Hill, where you cross Riverside at the stoplights. That is a connection from the East River Trail directly to the Fox River Trail. The Optimus Kayaker Point at 415 West was there at Fox River. And then there, the village did install trail access paths at the Old River Condominiums just north of the 3200 block of Riverside Drive. I don't know if that's an access point that's open to all residents. Some residents have indicated that when accessing that trail, they've been told it's private property and they are not able to use that. And then the DePere Fox River Point launch. So clearly, we are not an access point for the East River Trail or the Fox River Trail or from anyone east of Webster getting to the Fox River Trail. The crosswalk, I don't know the formal name for it, that was put in for crossing Riverside is a block and a half north of Roselawn Boulevard. We see every single day individuals crossing Riverside, which is a very dangerous, high-traffic street, to get to the trail. I have seldom, if ever, seen someone walk north to cross the crosswalk and then walk south to get back and access the Fox River Trail at the boat launch. So in terms of safety, I have to say, putting the sidewalk here as an access point to the Fox River Trail is going to cause for an increased issue with safety crossing Riverside Drive.
Okay. Thank you. What else?
I can come off of that, Mari.
I'm sorry, Mary Ellen, one person at a time.
Oh, sorry.
Yep. Mary Ellen, can you talk about the funding and the planning at this point?
So, Maureen, you're finished then?
For the moment.
I need to ask you, if you want to cover stuff, let's cover it, and then so we can get through it and make sure we can have a good conversation. I'll turn it over to Mary Ellen when you're done.
Okay. All right. So aesthetics and privacy, the loss of shared use boulevard, green space, existing land space, and mature shade trees, all of those are of concern to us. Our street was built the street was planned and constructed very much for resident safety, traffic safety. And you've talked about planning for the next 50 years. I would say that for the past 50 years, we've not had an issue. We know of no walker versus vehicular accidents on our street. We haven't had complaints of people saying, I don't like walking here because there is no sidewalk. As a matter of fact, all of us have experienced people that routinely travel Roselawn Boulevard as a walking and bike route asking us, what on earth is going on? Why would they do this to your street? I know someone earlier mentioned biking just stopped the other day and asked me, saying they were looking for a home on the street because of the beauty of the street. So for that to be changed is very distressing, not just to the residents of Roselawn, but those who value the history of the village of Alloway, its design, and why this street especially was created as it was. A question regarding aesthetics is, we understand, or to our knowledge, those driveways that have paver drives will have a concrete apron installed as part of the curb work. Jim, are you able to tell us if that's true or not? Because if that's true, you're taking a huge aesthetic for a homeowner and those people that walk and visit our street from a paver driveway to a patchwork of paver and concrete.
John?
Yeah, our village standard, our village driveway standard detail is it does include a concrete driveway apron. On the north side, in this particular case, it could include a concrete driveway sidewalk section. That's a standard that we follow when we go in and reconstruct a street in Alloway. We construct a concrete driveway apron 6 feet in width. Go ahead.
1 second, Maureen.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Sean. Maureen, did you?
Sean, you said could.
No, please. I know this sounds strange, but please address the question to me. I feel like.
Sean, I'm sorry. Strawn stated that it could include an apron. We would like to know, not could, but will, or will not. You're voting on this late, so.
It could include on the north side a driveway sidewalk section. I guess it all depends on how we proceed with this project.
So
Jim, our understanding, yeah. Jim, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that the main project is the street reconstruction and the sidewalk infrastructure. The alternate project is the sidewalk.
Correct.
Therefore, if the main project is approved, that means the concrete apron will be installed.
I apologize. The base bid does include the reconstruction of the driveways on the north side with a concrete driveway apron and a concrete driveway sidewalk section. You are correct. That will allow us to construct sidewalk under this current project or sometime down the road in the future.
Thanks. Okay. 1 second. Matthew, you had a question?
Just a point of clarification for myself, please. With the road reconstruction, no matter what alternate or other thing like that, there would still have to be a portion of the base of every driveway torn up. Is that correct, Sean? Because you're tearing up the curb, no matter what happens with a road change or not a road change, you still have to tear up the curb for this so that there would be an effect on every driveway no matter what. Is that correct?
That is correct. At a minimum.
You can't get around having some effect on the very base of the driveway.
You are correct. On the sidewalk, on the south side of the street, sidewalk isn't proposed, and we will be reconstructing the driveways, and it will consist of a 6-foot concrete driveway apron. Behind that, then, we will match the existing pavement in kind. If it's concrete, we will provide concrete, and we do that so that we can provide a smooth, gentle transition to the existing driveway slope.
Okay. if it's not concrete?
We'll match pavement in kind. So behind the concrete driveway apron on the south side, if it's brick, we put brick back. If it's brick, we would salvage the existing brick and the contractor reinstall that. If it's concrete, we put concrete back. If it's asphalt, we put asphalt back. Okay.
So
go on, Maureen.
Okay, just so I'm clear, I believe what I heard is that, because there are also pavers on the south side of the street.
No, there aren't.
Yes, there are.
Okay, let's not talk among each other, please.
Right. But so there are paver driveways on both sides of the street. So regardless of which side of the street you live on, those driveways with pavers will have the concrete apron on the side.
On the south side of the street, if there are pavers, according to what Sean just said, the pavers will be be put back. Correct, Sean?
Yes. Behind the concrete driveway apron, yes.
Oh, I see. Okay. I gotcha. So they'll all be concrete aprons.
Yes. Any unused bricks that are salvaged will. Our the property owners pull out of those bricks or we'll dispose of them, but
that's good. Thank you. Maureen? Did you
it didn't quite make it clear for me. Okay. On Roseland Boulevard, regardless of which side of the street, paver driveways will have a concrete apron.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Any other comments before we move on to Mary Ellen?
Yes. Actually, I want to talk about communication. So we all know communications have been inconsistent, far less than optimal. I think any conversation I've spoken with you, Jim, and some others, I think we all agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
So there was... Communication was discussed at a public works meeting on December 9th, 2020. We've listened to that recording, and during that meeting, ways of communication for residents of the street were discussed, including holding an open house, having a written announcement, putting a place on the village website for residents to comment, ask questions. One trustee made a statement saying the residents could have some good feedback. Another commented that a public informational meeting should be held sooner rather than later. This was in, again, December of 2020, and those things did not happen. The narrowing project was first proposed on August 12, 2020, at a public works meeting, and it was less than 3 weeks later that the project to narrow Roseline was approved, and then the decision to have the street design bids include a sidewalk infrastructure was also approved. At that point, the only communication to residents was a topographic study notice dated August 24th, 2020, which went only to the first 1,400 feet of the west end of Roseland Boulevard, so those of us impacted by the first phase. That did not include any information regarding street narrowing, sidewalks, or any other street design changes. Obviously, that would have been a perfect opportunity to be transparent and tell us that other changes were going to be voted on the coming week. From the Alloway Comprehensive Plan, we've read, quote, attempt to construct sidewalks along the rest of the village streets by identifying demand and consulting residents prior to street reconstruction projects. The village should also attempt to construct sidewalks along the rest of the village's existing streets by identifying neighborhoods where people want sidewalks and meeting with residents prior to street reconstruction projects to determine if street narrowing and sidewalks should be elements of the projects. And as we know, that part of the plan was not executed. Those things did not happen. Those of us on the west 1,400 feet of the street received a letter dated February 12, 2020, one that did outline the project. The remainder of the street was notified, I'm going to say, only after a resident within the first 1,400 feet
made a copy and delivered it to every resident on Roselawn Boulevard, and hence the our efforts following that date. The notification that they received did not include the full scope of the project that we in the first 1,400 feet received. We have gotten several explanations. We understand and have been told, you know, that you have that the board recognizes that, want to do better in the future, but that doesn't really address the situation that we are in now. I did request a linear timeline that would have provided all of the information regarding discussion, communications, and motions related to the Roselawn Reconstruction Project. I haven't received a response to that, but as I just indicated, we have done some very thorough research to try to find out when, how, you know, we got to the place where we are now. So we don't feel by any means that we have a clear understanding of what and why this took place without any community or resident involvement. So I'm just going to say, in conclusion, my opinion is based on this and resident comments, we are urging you to table this project in its entirety due to the inclusion of sidewalk infrastructure on the street reconstruction project, being that the alternate includes the side infrastructure, which is creating the, all of the things that we are asking be tabled, narrowing our streets, removing space from the boulevards, taking 11 feet of the front lawns. We're asking you to table this, to rebid it without the infrastructure, or, as I heard earlier, you can make decisions to make a motion to approve part of a bid. I would request that anything that is infrastructure or sidewalk or change in the design of the street. I yield to Mary Ellen.
Thank you very much, Maureen. Mary Ellen.
A couple of things.
Mary Ellen, could you please give us your name and address, please?
Sure. I'm Mary Ellen Merck, and I live at 461 Roselawn Boulevard.
Thank you.
I'm Maureen. Part of a large group of people who have been meeting and discussing and talking and trying to figure out how we got to this point. What I want to share right now first is our understandings as a group of the funding and planning for this. So it's our understanding that only the first 1,400 of the project is planned and will be financed by bond, not the grants or anything. That we are concerned with the planning for the remaining 1,850 feet of the street that may or may not happen in 2 or 3 years as anything, and that there is substantial sloping at the east end of the street that goes from top to bottom and also north to south, so east to west and north to south. And how are you going to create a sidewalk, continuous sidewalk in an area that is so, such a steep area? Both factors, as well as the additional 450-foot span of the street length, will make a 2023 project considerably more expensive, and we do not know how that will look or how it will be financed. Our second point is that the plan calls for narrowing the street by 4 feet on the non-boulevard portions, which we have been told will provide for considerable cost savings to road maintenance. But a cost savings analysis was requested, and a draft was dated, but it would appear that no cost savings was actually completed prior to our request. We would like to know why a cost savings analysis was not completed prior to the report to the approval of the road narrowing on September 1st. On March 22nd, we were told that the cost savings were calculated based on what was a reduction in paved width of the outside of the island areas. Uniform purposes savings were calculated from Riverside to Webster. Cost calculator 2.5% was used to account for inflation. Pavement life of 50 to 65 years. Described pavement maintenance follows state guidelines with funding limitations, and we do our best That's what we were told, to follow the pavement maintenance requirement, maintenance recommendation. And a final statement in the communication is a final cost estimate will be provided after an internal review by village staff. So is there a final cost estimate complete between what it would be narrowing versus non-narrowing? We understand the desire to save money. The project is projected savings over the next 50 years seems pretty insignificant. I mean, you haven't reconstructed or significantly resurfaced our street in 50 years. So, I don't know. We've been 15 plus years past due for resurfacing. I've been here 20 years and nobody's resurfaced my street. The only thing I've ever seen is people coming by with asphalt and filling holes that the asphalt then comes out of. The cost savings analysis is based on the entire length of the street, but we're only talking about that 1,400 right now. That is a bit deceptive to accentuate that projected cost savings and minimize the total project expenses. We'd like to understand why the costs of the sidewalk-related infrastructure are not clearly defined. They're included within the total cost of the road reconstruction, but why isn't that separated out? And also the narrowing. What's the difference between not narrowing the street and narrowing the street? And why narrow the street? It would seem to make more sense to have the alternate bid include the sidewalk infrastructure and sidewalk placement so that the costs of reconstruction only are very clear to everybody. The general state of disrepair of alleyway streets and sidewalks would lead one to believe that funds would be better directed toward replacing and repairing those sidewalks that are already in existence. Okay? For example, Breyer or the sidewalks on Webster. The Webster Avenue corridor study indicates improvement to existing roads and sidewalks. Replacing Webster sidewalks to meet the ADA guidelines would be seem to be better use of residents or taxpayer dollars than putting a sidewalk on Roselawn, where there's no completion plan or demonstrated need. And my question, when I was talking to Mr. Rafter after I got off the phone with Mr. Rafter, one of the questions that came to my head is, why was the narrowing even suggested? Why did that even come up? Because I was told, Mr. Rafter, you told me that the engineering plan was based on narrowing. But who made that decision?
I'm guessing the engineers. Sean?
Last year, last fall, it was... the village board meeting, I believe on September 1st, was discussed. And the reason I had proposed that was for a couple of reasons. One, to reduce the overall cost of the project and to save money, to save maintenance of the street, save money on the maintenance of the street in the future. But the other reason that I had proposed the narrowing of the street was that we, most local residential streets in alleyway are narrower than what we're proposing and much narrower than what currently exists. So we know from experience that a narrower roadway will function just fine. We know that from studies and experience that narrower roadways are calm traffic, potentially be safer. Those were the reasons.
And none of that makes sense for our street because our street's not a straight street. So our street already calms traffic because you have to slow down to make those curves around the boulevards. Our street was designed 60 years ago, and as we've said, some of us, I think Mrs. Temp is on the call. She's been on the street since it was designed. And we don't know of any accidents on this street ever. The only accidents we know of are where the street meets Riverside or the street meets Webster. So there's no safety reason to have sidewalks, and there's no safety reason to narrow. And then you proposed it, but where's the study that shows that it makes sense to do that, number one? And number two, I don't understand how there is a cost savings to narrow. Are you going to have to pull up the curbs anyway when you restructure? Do the curbs have to be anyway?
But we got to put the pavement back. After we remove the curb and gutter in the pavement, we have to put it back.
Correct.
And we're proposing a narrower roadway.
Freeze, folks. Sorry.
So, Mr. Brown,
Mary Ellen, mm-hmm. direct it to me, please.
Reconstruction includes ripping out the gutters and the curbs?
Yeah.
Yes.
Normally. Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Yeah. And then my other question, I think that's all I have for now. I propose, as Maureen said, we all agree. We propose to table this whole thing, relook at what is the difference in cost between narrowing and not narrowing the street, and why are we, I understand the streets need to be restructured, reconstructed, but why, that I'm in agreement with Maureen, basically, that we table this whole thing, because you are also putting the infrastructure in as part of your bid. The infrastructure doesn't need to be there. And from what I'm understanding, that infrastructure will also, in addition, change the way that people's driveways are on the north side. That's what I'm understanding.
Okay.
I agree with Maureen that we should table this and relook at it.
Okay. Thank you, Mary Ellen. Josh Kennedy at 310 Roselawn.
Hello.
Hello.
So just for the record, this is Josh Kennedy from 310 Roselawn Boulevard.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And as a resident of Roselawn Boulevard, I've been in communication with, like, Mary Ellen and Maureen, with Mary Ellen and Maureen and many others. And I just wanted to... I have a statement. Well, actually, I have a question first, just to double check what Mary Ellen was saying. I've heard that the method for payment is a rotating bond. Is that correct? Where we have some bonds go up, and then after a few years, they go off, and we have other bonds that come out. Is that the correct? Am I understanding the financing for the project correct?
This project will be bonded for. We will borrow money to build the street. Yeah.
Okay. And is that go to the is that voted on by the board or by the citizens of Alloway, or is it just, how is that taken care of?
It's voted on by the board.
By the board. Okay. Okay. So then let me go ahead and read the statement I had, because I think there's an important piece to this that I haven't heard discussed, and that is, what do the residents of Roselawn Boulevard want? We've already shared what we don't want. Right, we talked about our concerns for the lack of resident demand. You know, the project's fidelity to village code was brought up by Maureen, and then, you know, Mary Ellen mentioned the financial disclosure. There's not. It seemed like we were looking at different numbers based on the entire street versus the first 1,400 feet of the street not being shared with adequate clarity. The aesthetics and privacy, the liability of resident safety concerns. The idea that Roselawn Boulevard is not the optimal choice for a sidewalk to the Fox River Trail from anywhere, because you have two streets, Webster and Roselawn, that are high traffic and they have no easy way across them. And then on top of that, the impact of the original planner's design, as was just mentioned, with the boulevards working to slow down traffic by design. And I'll add my own personal thought. I'm concerned with the uptick in deliveries from all of the people who've been shopping online the past year. I don't think that's going to slow down to pre-pandemic levels. And so narrower streets make me concerned that we're going to have more people, you know, fighting for space, whether it's parking, cycling, with delivery trucks on a narrower street. And then along with that, mismanaged and late communication dating back to August 12th. As a resident from the end of 2019, the first I heard of it was late February from a neighbor. But what we would like to share that we do want is, we want our village leaders to better understand the pride and the dignity we have in our community. and in our homes. And that begins, I think, an option that would really help is recognizing the historic significance of this boulevard. For example, did you know that University of Wisconsin-Green Bay has a residence hall named for Packers player, for a Packers player who lived on Roselawn for the past 60 years? That was James A. Temp. His wife, Carol Jean, is on the call tonight, as is his daughter, Polly. And he played under Vince Lombardi, has a residence hall named after him. His legacy as a community influencer across the greater Green Bay community still lives on with his family members at 311. Four other properties on the boulevard have been given as examples of architectural styles from different periods in village history. In the 2012 to 2013 Village of Alloway Architectural and Historical Intensive Survey Report, the Jerome J. Gallagher House at 120, the Grant J. Nault House at 180, the Lester Clan House at 181, and the Lyle H. Edelblue House at 321. These homes, as well as 541 Roselawn, can be found on the Wisconsin Historical website as well. These few examples of the historical value of Roselawn Boulevard fail to include countless anecdotes residents have shared and other pieces of history yet to be uncovered about how much people all over the Green Bay communities love the look and feel of Roselawn Boulevard. And we believe that as a historically progressive village, Alloway would be missing out on a huge opportunity to set Roselawn Boulevard as a standard for historic preservation. We propose that the village move forward with its plan to reconstruct Roselawn Boulevard's underground utilities, but refrain from altering the width of the street or adding any sidewalk or sidewalk infrastructure. Once completed, residents are interested in the possibility of fog lines, and we'd be more than willing to continue discussions regarding the walking experience for community members who have long enjoyed safely walking our boulevards. Be done through memorial branches, for example, memorial benches, dog pet waste stations, historic markers, and so forth. We believe that our boulevards hold historic significance and will be irreparably damaged by enacting the changes you are voting on today. Thank you.
Thank you, Josh. Okay. Does anyone have anything to add that has not already been said?
Yes. Jim O'Rourke.
Okay.
2339 Oakwood Avenue. I've been in communication with this group for a while. I received a email on March 31st, 2021 from the village in response to my question, is Roselawn actually a walking route? And if it is a walking route, where is it a route from and to? And the answer was that Alloway does not have designated walking routes other than the Safe Routes to School program. So clearly it cannot be a public purpose route if Alloway doesn't have walking routes. So there's two ways that that would justify funding for this through tax dollars, and that would be one of them. It is not a public purpose route because it's not a route from one place to another. It's a self-contained block. And then the other is, Jim, my can you turn on my video? You turned it off when you were messing around at the beginning. Can you turn on my video?
Okay.
I got it turned off, and it still won't turn on for me.
Oh, sorry about that, Jim.
It's okay.
I think I just asked you to start video.
There we go. Okay.
I was giving you the ability to record. Sorry about that.
That's fine. No, that's fine. And then there were two reasons. It's not a public purpose route, so it can't be funded through tax dollars, is my position on that point. And then others, is it a public benefit route? And that needs to have some sort of criteria. And here is the map that shows the heat map that shows everybody on the street thinks that it's not a public benefit. And then I also did an open records request from the village for any request from anybody in the village that wanted a sidewalk on there, and the village didn't have any record of anybody actually from outside of Roselawn requesting a sidewalk on Roselawn. So it's not a public benefit route if 90% of the people on Roselawn don't want it and nobody else in town wants it, and it's not a walk, it's not on a walking route because Alloy doesn't have walking routes other than school routes. So it really can't be funded using tax dollars is my point. You need to change the code or it's only the board that can decide what is actually a public benefit, but there's no criteria for that decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Mary, please give me Mary Zilke.
Mary Zilke, 181 Roselawn Boulevard.
Thank you.
I just wanted to give a little story about what Alloway and Roselawn means to me.
Okay.
So I first fell in love with Alloway when I visited my grandparents' house as a child. The community was focused on quiet neighborhoods for families that desired privacy, peace, and a safe atmosphere. My family moved to Alloway in 1996, and I found Roselawn Boulevard while walking my dog. I was amazed at the street, the quiet streets, the big lawns, and the mature trees. I went home that very day and told my husband I found our forever street. Then, by 19, ecstatic to move into the neighborhood. This neighborhood was more expensive and higher taxes than other Alloway neighborhoods, but it was worth it to have the wide boulevards, the beautiful crabapple trees, pine trees, and more. Walking down the safe boulevards during all seasons brings you in tune with nature. For the neighborhood also belongs to the birds and squirrels that live in the trees that you guys are planning to cut down. It belongs to the deer and the turkey that roam in our front yards and our backyards. This is the neighborhood I fell in love with and the neighborhood I bought into. I did not buy into the street that you are proposing to turn Roselawn into. I would never have loved nor moved to that street. Please keep Roselawn Boulevard the way it was when the neighborhood residents decided to move there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Robin has her hand up. Robin, can you give us a... Oh, it looks like Yvonne, though. Oh, there's Robin. Okay. You keep moving around. Hold on. Okay. So we'll go with Robin.
Hi. Yes, thank you. I'm Robin Nelson. I'm at 260 Roselawn. And I guess I just wanted to touch on something that was brought up, I think, initially back with the discussion about Beaumont is the crystal ball. And I know with past meetings over the last month, Trevor had shared information about heat maps and you know, that kind of thing. And so I guess what I wanted to focus on was, you know, with this crystal ball, we're looking at the heat maps. The heat maps obviously show people on the trail. I mean, that makes sense. That doesn't mean that people are going to walk down Roselawn Boulevard to get to the trail. Our street is 0.6 miles. So when you look at walkability scores, which realtors use a lot, they have basically a rule of thumb, and it says that people are not going to walk more than a quarter of a mile, which is about 10 minutes, to get from their home to their destination or from their home to a public transit such as a bus stop, which we do not have a bus stop at our street. We do not have, as said before, the hot crossing at our street. So when you're looking at walking twice the distance of what the rule of thumb is, especially with children, I could see maybe people riding bikes that far, but walking, I don't think that makes any sense. I know the people that walk our street are people that live on our street. And it's not often that we see somebody that's, you know, from somewhere else, unless it's the dog walkers that we see on a regular basis. Going on with that, we're talking about putting in new infrastructure for our street that's going to cost, we don't even know how much, because the amount has not been separated out in the bids. So we don't know what the true cost is of the infrastructure portion. So if we're going to be doing that, we've already got these boulevards that are meant as pedestrian refuges. We use these. We've used these for 60 plus years. I used to walk Mr. Temp's dog, Ruffles, and we would go as children on those boulevards and walk the dogs. We see people coming from all over the walk and use those boulevards. And it's a great space for people to do that and not have it be in someone else's yard and have it be a public area. When we're looking at the future, when we're looking at the crystal ball, over 90% of our street is saying no to this. If it was 50%, I would say, cool, things could definitely change in the next 20, 30 years. I understand why you're doing this. But when we've got a majority of our street saying, hey, we don't want this, and you're looking at the demographic of who lives on this street, we have a ton of people that are the original owners of these homes. We have the Temps, as mentioned before. We have Mr. and Mrs. Spell. They just passed away in December. He was actually one of the people that sold homes on this street. We have the Bodarts, the Falks. There is a ton of families that are original to this street that are still here to this day and stay here until they pass away. And now we're actually getting another group of people coming in, which are the grandchildren of those original owners. I just met the family at 380 Roselawn, and they are moving into the house of the husband's grandfather. This is the second house that I know of in the last year that this has happened, where they're buying their grandparents' house. People that move to our street are not coming here just for a short time and leaving. They're coming here and they're staying as long as they possibly can. I spoke with another resident who she just told me today. She remembered in 1961 when she got married that she wanted to live on this street. And she always dreamed of it. And when she retired, she finally got the opportunity to purchase a home here. And she was so excited because it was a dream basically her entire life. And this is where she wants to live her final days, is here on Roselawn. And I know we're talking about this new demographic that might want sidewalks, but so far we're not seeing it here. And the families that are young, that are on the street, are saying, no, we don't want this. If it was 50%, fine, but over 90% of the street saying no. I think it's something that would make more sense to reconsider with the next reconstruction, but not at this time. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Robin. Mike.
Make sure I'm on mute. Mike Hoos. I'm at 400 Roselawn Boulevard. I'll preface my comments by essentially saying that I recognize and support the need for regular maintenance on village streets. That's not an issue here. No, I don't support the installation of the sidewalk or any kind of fundamental dimensional changes to Roselawn Boulevard as part of this construction project. I do want to say that when my wife and I moved back to the area from out of state 3 years ago, we chose this street, this neighborhood, because we knew the history. I'm from the area originally, and we could have chosen any generic street elsewhere in Green Bay, and we chose to live here. As a matter of fact, from a historical standpoint, the home we're living in happened to be the home of the first cardiologist in Green Bay. And I think that as you take a look at the professional aspect of the people that lived in this area, it meant something to live on Roselawn back in the day, and it still means that today. Anecdotally, I will just close in saying we talked a bit about how bad the communication was. As a resident of the village of Alloway, I never expected that I'd have to initially learn of this upcoming project by having to approach a surveyor working in the street and ask him what he was doing. That happened in the beginning of the second week of August. I subsequently sent Sean an email, which he responded, confirming that something was going to happen. And then a week later, all of us got the letter of the 20th. So for future projects, we already learned all the bad things about this one, but for future projects, it is absolutely critical to make sure that you're on the front end of this, regardless of who's involved. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike. And we are going to be talking about communication on projects at our next Public Works meeting. So thank you for that. 1 second, Joe. Diane. Let's see if I can. There you go.
Thank you. Diane Rich, 260 Roselawn. I would like to respectfully address Ms. Rafferty's summary of the number of petition signatures for Roselawn, and I apologize for bringing this up again, but quite frankly, I feel minimized by the misrepresentation that about 40 residents signed the petition, when in fact there were 97 registered LOA voters who signed the petition, 90 of whom live on Roselawn, 7 of them who are not Roselawn residents. I just want to make that clear.
Well, and I thank you for that, and I will apologize. It wasn't intentional. I remember counting 42 signs, so I figured 42 homes, and I'm just telling you.
Okay, so, okay. I accept your apologies, and I thank you for that.
But the signatures were on multiple pages, and I'm just trying to run the meeting, so I apologize.
Okay, thank you for that. And my only other comment, I really ask the LOA board who is voting tonight to please table the construction at this time. Roselawn is a boulevard. It's one of only two boulevards in LOA. The definition of a boulevard is a wide street, often with trees, and it perfectly describes our street. It's wide, it's beautiful to drive down, whether the trees are in leaf in the summer or it's winter and you're negotiating the boulevards in and out, the trees and the layout of the street were designed intentionally, and that's what a boulevard is. Please don't take away one of the two boulevards in LOA by stripping the street of its design. I ask you to please reconsider that, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Diane. Okay. Joe. Oh, there
you
go.
I'm here. Sorry. Joe Tulvane, 140 Roselawn.
Thank you, Joe.
Yeah. I just had a couple small comments. One is reinforcing a tad. It seems to me that it's a little complicated, more complicated than it needs to be, to include the infrastructure of the sidewalks in the base cost. The base cost, it seems to me, should only be the resurfacing, the, if necessary, repiping, the recurving of the street itself. That's a base cost. Additional costs would include sidewalks and all of their infrastructure. Now, I understand why the infrastructure was listed in that first, but in this case, when you're trying to argue against sidewalks, it forces you, the board, who are trying to do your due diligence, to work with, I would say, somewhat inaccurate information. It's actually telling you, okay, the base cost, if you don't do the sidewalks, if you make that decision, but you do the road work, it's going to include the infrastructure for the sidewalks. That's a needless cost if you're not going to do the sidewalks, obviously. The second part is, I know I have to suggest it to you, Jim, but it seems to me that it's possible that the cost of the actual sidewalks as the additional work only includes the first 1,400 feet.
Correct.
It does not include the entire road.
Correct.
And again, that's kind of disingenuous, actually. I don't accuse anybody of anything. I'm just saying that it's giving you incomplete information with which to make your decision. My second point really has to do with a comment that you made. I think it was a valid opinion, and that was that, well, when we look at the time you said 40, we now know that that's quite a bit more, but that's neither, the actual numbers neither are, terribly important. The importance is that there's a number of people who have appeared at this meeting to say, this is not something we want. More importantly, this is not something we need. Why would we put sidewalks into a fairly difficult topographical situation when we already have a walkable street? and people are, and the evidence of that is that people are using it. Now, they're not using it to cross Riverside, but they are using it to walk their dogs and so on. And the very architecture of the street itself lends itself to them doing that. It slows traffic down. It slows the motion. I agree that maybe a narrower street would somehow allow for less maintenance over time, but I'd love to see what the projected numbers are before a decision is made, because I suspect strongly that if you narrow the street enough, you're going to have trouble with parking and traffic going past. Already, if somebody parks on the street, when trucks come through, it's very difficult for them to move down that street. The last, and I guess it's a third one, not a last one, but it relates to my last one, has to do with attendance. I would have thought that if the balance of alleyway, which is what was implied, was against this project, or was for this project, that Roselawn was an absolute necessity for a walking lane connecting Webster with Riverside, that they would have appeared at this meeting. Now, I mean, you yourself said that you know, people need to come if they want to be heard. I have not heard a single voice that was for this project at this meeting. So, you know, I agree that one way of looking at it is that 90-some people don't want it and the rest of Alloway does by exclusion, but at the same time, 90% people don't want it and the rest of Alloway, not a single person chose to come to this meeting and discuss it. And they should have. That's all I had to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joe. Okay, we will take two more. We've got Jeff.
What do you know about?
Hi there. I just wanted to respectfully, am I on?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I just wanted to respectfully ask the question. There is such disparate response. All but one of the board members said they wanted it. And apparently have wanted it for a long time, you know, ever since the 2017 came out. So this has been building. It's been a done deal. And on the other side, we have almost without exception, all the people who live here, who use it, are saying, please, no. So my question is, what are the structural ways that we can, because you've already voted. You've already said yes for everything we say don't do, right?
We have not voted on Roselawn.
Pardon?
We have not voted on the Roselawn project.
Okay, well, you've already voted on the Beaumont project then.
Yeah.
So my same question would apply. What are our options to officially ask you or to request a different response, a different action?
You can send a letter, you can request.
Here.
But this is really, this is the process we go through. So,
I mean, you know, if you guys here in a few minutes push the same button,
yeah.
So you're going to have, you know, 100-plus residents, you know, who are just going to say, unbelievable. So I guess I'm just asking, you know, it doesn't seem fair to say basically our only response is vote me out next year.
Well,
you know,
we're doing our best, Ken.
I know, you know, and I appreciate that.
So,
thank you very much.
Thank you. Kurt. Tyler.
Hi, thanks, Jim. Kurt Byler, 511 Beaupre. I'm a member of the Public Works Committee. So this is about Roselawn residents, but it's also about all other residents of the community, and it's for the good of the community. It was on the bike and ped plan. It's basically the only east-west opportunity for sidewalks to get from Webster to Riverside. And this is village property. It's not personal property. There aren't any other streets appropriate nearby. Briar has, you know, I think I counted 30 and 40 trees on both sides, and that's newly reconstructed. That's not a great opportunity. And the other streets nearby are winding and not appropriate. Driving that street, I'm barely comfortable going 11 miles per hour when I pass a pedestrian. And, you know, a sidewalk would make a place for them to be. So I can't imagine, I'm quite careful, I can't imagine what other drivers would do at night or who aren't as careful. It seems like the place where we do need a sidewalk. I drove past a house where there's a family hanging out in their driveway in their garage. There's a few cars parked there. If there was a pedestrian coming, I would have to stop. I mean, which is fine. I would stop and wait for them to get through. There's not room for pedestrians on that street. And that's why I think there needs to be a sidewalk. The amount of trees that I've seen that are to be removed on the plan are probably about a half dozen, and it looks like five of them would be removed from the utilities anyway. But, you know, if it's against the child's life, I would cut down 10,000 trees or more. But
really?
Sorry.
And, you know, again, this might be the chicken or the egg. You say no one uses the sidewalks, but if they're not there, they can't use them. So we don't know, you know, if the sidewalks are there, they will come.
No, they won't.
Excuse me, folks. I'll mute everyone.
And, you know, if you've ever grown up on a...
1 second, Kurt.
Oh, sorry.
Everyone has been respectful of everyone having their peace, and everyone is entitled to their opinion. So let's respectfully let others talk. Thank you. Go on, Kurt.
Thanks. And, you know, if you've ever grown up with a sidewalk in front of your house, that's a great place for children to go and safely play and visit other neighbors without being in the street riding your tricycle. That's all. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. Chad. 1 second, everyone.
Hi, Chad Schneider, 210 Roselawn Boulevard. I'm cycling back a little bit. I apologize. I got disconnected and then I came back. It was about the narrowing of the street. It is a question that I had asked when we went and met with Sean. Is the narrowing of the street being done because there's not enough public right-of-way on the properties that are within the Boulevard Islands? Is my understanding that that is part of the reason they're narrowing the street. Is that correct?
Sean?
No, that isn't correct. Where we're narrowing the roadway outside of the islands, there is sufficient space for a sidewalk on the north side. Ed, go ahead.
Yeah, so is that why the narrowing of the boulevard must take place then? Because you can't pick enough out of the property?
To avoid right-of-way acquisition, yes. At the boulevards or at the island areas, we had shifted the north half of the roadway 2.5 feet south, and we had reduced the island width by 2.5 feet to create room on the north side for sidewalk in those areas.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chad. Okay. We have, I think we still have some people with hands up. What I'm going to do is give people a minute to give me a comment if you have a comment, okay? So, Jackie, do you have something to say?
I do. Am I unmuted?
You are unmuted.
Excellent. I grew up on a street with sidewalks, and I hated it because people would walk by and they would hang out and smoke their cigarettes on the sidewalks in front of my house, and they would just Yeah, it's public property, so my parents couldn't go out there and tell them that, hey, could you move down to the next house and continue your conversation arguing with your wife while you're walking down the street smoking your cigarette. I don't want sidewalks. I love Roselawn. I've been here for 12 years. I raised my boys on it. They've rode their bikes, learned how to ride their bikes on this street safely, rode their bikes back and forth to Foxview and Dickinson because we chose to be in the other school district for a different reason. And they're going to ride their bikes. People are going to ride their bikes for what's convenient for them. I ride my bike back and forth in the summertime to St. Norbert, and I cross right here in front of the tennis court, and I wait till it's clear. People are not going to go anyplace special, whether there's a sidewalk or not. Please table all of the work. Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie. Okay, Randy, do you have your hand up?
President Raptor?
Yes.
The person who just spoke, I think we need their full name and address.
Thank you. Jackie?
Yes. Jackie Lopez, 280 Roselawn Boulevard. I'm the one with the circle driveway.
Thank you. I have a circle driveway, too.
I'd like to say something. I'm not sure if I'm raising my hand or not. I was trying, but I don't know if it was
I'm sorry. If you want to say something, I'll remember you, and I'll come back to you. Okay,
okay, I just want to make sure I said that.
Okay. Randy, did you have something to say?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And first of all, this Kurt, so you know whose house had the cars out in front Sunday was ours at Randy Rich at 260 Roselawn. And we have a 3-year-old grandson that was playing in the driveways with the cars in front. And it was very clear that if our street gets narrowed, which it's not supposed to, it's just going to get moved, it is hard for another car to go down past, let alone if a bus was coming down. That's why we're a little concerned about changing the street. And there was, and I know when Sean started saying, well, there's enough space there, there isn't. He told us himself. We looked over the stuff. We didn't learn about this project until two or three months ago. And we did talk right away to Sean and to you, Jim. You were down in Florida. I think we caught you in the airport. And, you know, we asked why we didn't find out about the project, and we heard a couple different answers. Because my first thought is, if we're going to do a major change like this to our street, I'd like to have some input on it because I think there's something different we could do. When, Kurt said, you know, there's enough space, and Sean here said there was, but then he had to retract that back. Where there's an island, it's not why the city does not have enough right of way. That's why they're moving the street. That's why they're shrinking the islands. And all that stuff probably should have been talked about at the first of this meeting. Why? Just like when it came out, how much it's going to cost. He doesn't even have half of it because he's only talking one end of the street. You don't do a project of this for just one end and stop and say, okay, that's good enough. And so I'm kind of like another gentleman on here. He didn't like some of the answers he's hearing because we've spent a lot of time researching this the last 2 or 3 months. We've talked out for hours with Sean. We know what's going on there. We have maps of the street. We went out and measured the streets and measured things. And we're getting, there's some misleading going on here today, and that kind of bothers me, and I hope the other members that are doing the voting understand that. These are untruths, some of the stuff we're hearing tonight. And to not be involved with this process, to not be told about it till what, 2 or 3 months ago, and how we were told about it is people down at the other end of the street that got the notice, they started telling us. We wouldn't have probably known yet today that this project was even going on. That's how bad this was, but we've already talked about that. But don't mislead us. Now, there are streets that have 15 feet of city right away. They could put the sidewalk right down there right now. They don't have to redo the street for it. We have 7 here. That's why they had to move the street 2.5 feet. So let's be honest with everybody. Let's not mislead people here. I mean, honesty is the most important thing to me. And we're not a bunch of idiots. We all did a lot of research on this. Research on your own rules. Researched what was going on in the street. So I don't know how anybody on this council could vote on putting a sidewalk in tonight or putting a street ready for a sidewalk after we weren't given the opportunity to get involved with this for the last year. And at least I would have liked to have some input on how this was done. I really don't believe you need 6 feet and then a 5 foot sidewalk. You don't need to take that much land in front of my house. That is just ridiculous. You go up on Webster, a busy street where I'm more nervous walking, and Jim, you know this because you walk around our street and your street too. Basically, when you get up on Webster, you have a 3.5 foot sidewalk right on the curb on a busy road. That's terrible up there. Yep. We don't have that situation here. And those islands could be used for a lot more than chopping the islands to a smaller size. We should be figuring out a good use for those islands that we have. And it sure is, we don't sure need a sidewalk. So I guess that's my 2 cents, and I'm very dissatisfied how this whole thing went down. I said it at the last meeting, if I could have had some input, there's a lot of other options, and 11 feet for a sidewalk in a street on a street like ours is ridiculous. Now, I've heard all kinds of stories. Sean basically said they need a place to plow snow, so they need 6 feet. They need a place to put leaves and tree branches, so they need 6 feet. I guess I wouldn't get, you know, if I have to have a sidewalk in front of my house, I don't want to give up that much. And then, in fact, since the sidewalk's going to one side, it should be decided it's going to be on only one side, and I would even move the islands over further since it's going on one side. There's a lot of things we could discuss to make this 10 times better than it was. I'm very disappointed that how this thing went down, dishonesty, and then want to ram something down our throat that isn't the best solution. The street's too valuable to use the option that's out there right now. So I guess that's my 2 cents. But as you can tell, I'm like everybody else in Roseland. I'm not happy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Folks, I would ask that you please put yourselves on mute. Otherwise, I'll have to put everyone on mute. Thank you. Okay. I know you're not Garrett, but I promised Marilyn I'd get to her first, so Emacs.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm Marilyn Gardner Scobb. I live at 120 Roselawn Boulevard. My husband was one of 4 people that laid out this subdivision. One passed away just recently, and that was Ed Feld. Tom and a couple of other guys laid this out, and I'll tell you what, the engineering on this road is so forward-thinking that I think what is talked about to do to this boulevard now. My husband was cremated, but if he was buried, he'd be rolling in his grave. This is a highly charged topic on this street, highly charged for many, many reasons, and a lot of it is miscommunication or no communication. And to do 1,400 feet from Riverside Drive coming up and not even have the plans, the engineering plans drawn, nothing ready for the remainder of the street up at the top of the hill where I have. If you don't have that and you're asking to vote on this tonight, whether you do the street reconstruction or whether you do the reconstruction and the sidewalk or whether only the reconstruction, you don't have enough information. There are so many of us, and especially those on streets that are not Roselawn Boulevard that are saying, your street connects to nothing. This we know. The Hawk Crossing was put a block and a half north. It was chosen to go there for a good variety of reasons. It was a long process. It was kind of an expensive process, having to buy land from the residences next to it to put that stoplight over the road that I don't know that there is a study that shows how many people actually use that. But Roselawn is only one block long from the 100s to the 500s. It connects with nothing. It is not a through street. It is not it's not part of the Safe Routes to School plan. We have only a 25 mile an hour, if we travel 25 miles an hour on this boulevard. We don't have any direct access, as I said earlier, from the East River Trail, and we're not a long east-west street. if you're trying to move people from the east part of Alloway to the west part of Alloway over busy Webster, you have a through street one block north of us that does that. There's a stop sign. I'm sorry. There's a bus sign right at that corner. You can go from the East River Trail, cross Webster all the way to the East River Trail, from the East River Trail to the Fox River Trail, and not have to stop, make a zigzag, and go up to the Hawk Crossing. The LA Beautification Committee has recognized this street in more ways than was. If we want to get on the personal side, and I have a personal side of it, this house, as was mentioned earlier, at 120, is part of the historical architecture identified with the State Historical Society as far as the design of this house being a contemporary design. There are houses on this street, including this, that have received the Alloway Beautification Committee Award. That award is not given because a sidewalk was on this street to move people from nowhere to nowhere, to connect with nothing, to cross, to move people across Highway 57. There are people that are so proud of the street that they live on that they invest monies, big monies, from landscapers to brick driveways, that understand the feeling, the aesthetics of the neighborhood they have moved to. All these things are emotional things. But I'm hearing all those things that I had prepared tonight have already been said. So what I'm doing here, without having to go back over many of the things that Joe said and Robin has said and Mary Ellen have said and Maureen have said, the tremendous amount of research that's been done in the short amount of time that we have known of this project, we on the north end of the street learned only after one of our residents has mentioned it, as was mentioned earlier. But not having the full scope of the project, how you can vote this evening on not having the full data on the full street. We don't know what 2023 is going to give, much less 50 years down the road. This boulevard, as it now has its footprint, can last 50 years. We have no problem with the reconstruction of the street. It's getting in terrible shape. The curb lines, etc. But when you start talking about adding sidewalks for people to walk on, we already have a slow-moving street that's been defined by those undulating curves. We have not had one accident. And so to say, as Kurt had said earlier, there are no streets appropriate nearby for a sidewalk. I personally, my opinion, I'd like to rebut that. There are many streets in this area, none of which have sidewalks, but those of which could have sidewalks that make more sense than trying to get someone around a corner and down a street that goes from the 100 block to the 500 block to take you nowhere. So with that, I don't want to go over any more information, but I'm also of the mind, you do not have the information that is necessary for you to make the decision. You hear all of our concerns, and there are 90% of us on this street that do not agree with it because we didn't have input. Even though the 2017 was done, I was at that last meeting when it was asked for input, and the people that spoke were not from this neighborhood. They were from a bicycle and a walking club and another lady over on Gwynn. There was no other information other than an informational meeting. The next thing you know, it's turned around and we have a comprehensive study. Since then, two streets have been changed as far as which one gets the sidewalk, which one gets the bicycle area. That hasn't been done yet either. So just from a very analytical mind, and I hope that I can say that I have one, I couldn't see, if I was a board member and all these objections based on their research, very good research, excellent research, listening to recordings, following minutes, et cetera, they are trying to make the point that please listen to us. You do not have the information complete for the full boulevard to make the determination that, first of all, a sidewalk and a street reconstruction, you don't have the monies for it. You don't even have the engineering for our half of the street to go forward and then hope in 2 years, whatever the economy is going to be like, whatever the materials that might be available or not be available, whether you can bond again for it. You don't have that information. So I agree with those that are saying either table it or vote and do your reconstruction of the road, because it needs either reconstruction or resurfacing, but leave the sidewalks off because the street automatically takes care of that traffic. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn.
You're welcome.
Okay. I will allow the next two. We'll do two quick ones. And I ask you to keep your comments brief because they're repeats. So, Jeff, are you still there? Nope, Jeff's gone. Robin.
Jim, you forgot.
All right. What? Did you want to go back to Mrs. Weller?
Oh, how terrible of me. Thank
what
you.
What the heck? I'm still sitting here.
I'm sorry. Everyone else is raising their hand, and that's what I'm seeing, so I apologize. Please, give us your name and address.
My name is Tressa Weber. My husband is Garrett Weber. He's in the background there. We live at 191 Roselawn Boulevard.
Thank you.
We've lived here for probably approximately 5 years now. I will make this brief, like you said, absolutely. There are just a couple points that I would like to make. So I used to drive past this road and think, man, I would love to live there. I could never afford it. It'll never happen. And it happened. And it's fantastic. And I can't imagine changing anything about it because everything that it is what drew us here. In all the seasons, I share the photos of the street, how beautiful it looks with all the trees in the summer, how gorgeous the trees look when they're covered with snow in the winter. There's just nothing that can... I think that you're making a really, really big mistake if you change that. A really big mistake. And there's a couple other things, too. So the comments about, the safety and the kids, and I had to slow down to 11 miles an hour. We have young kids. Our kids are 5 and 11. They ride their bikes. They ride their skateboards. They zoom up and down the driveway. Half the neighborhood probably hears them enough screaming. You know, that's us. They're safe. We have absolutely no concerns. They're careful. We move over. I am not worried. I drive up and down the road a lot, obviously. I don't have to slow down that much all the time. I mean, I think it's the responsible thing to do to slow down when anybody's around on the street or in the driveway. But, I mean, as a parent of two younger kids, I don't have a concern for that. And we're on the street all the time. I think it's important for you to make sure that you're hearing the voices of the people that live in this neighborhood that are directly impacted by this, that feel safe here, that love it here. I just hope that all of the members here of the, I always forget what you call it, I want to say the council, but I hope that people hear that because I think that it's very, very valuable to listen to the people that actually are directly affected. I'm all done.
Thank you very much. Okay, real quick, Robin.
Yes, thank you. And I guess I want to kind of piggyback off of what Teresa was saying. So I think it's important to note that, Kurt Beiler, you are a resident of Alloys, but you are also...
Robin, do not address him directly, please.
Okay, so I will address you then. The resident that's stated he's a resident of Alloy, he also is a member of the former Ad Hoc Bike Pedestrian Committee, 1 of 10. The September 1st meeting where it was voted upon to go ahead and move forward with the changes to our street, the narrowing, the moving of the lanes on the northbound lanes, all those changes, there was some people there that were talking about wanting to do this to Roselawn, but none of it was from our street because we didn't even have any knowledge of it happening. But the people that were there speaking were bike and ped committee members, Rebecca Nyberg, Heather Gentry. Those are the people speaking. So I would like to hear who these residents are that are not on this committee that are very much invested in this plan. Who are the regular residents of Alloy who are saying that they want to use Roselawn as a street to get through? Because I haven't heard of anybody saying that. And I'm like somebody else had mentioned, why aren't they here? That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. And our last will be Ann.
Hello, Ann Wasted. 591, we're on the corner of Roselawn and Riverside.
I hope you're really in Florida.
Just my background, not me. Sorry about that. There's too much going on here in the house.
No, that looks good.
We can dream. My husband and I moved here 20 years ago, almost to the date. We chose this neighborhood because of the beauty of the boulevards, the trees, the safety, the quiet street, and yet very close proximity to everything we wanted, as you think about Tapir and 172 and the river and the trail that was being built when we moved up here. So we chose that road for a reason. We've since raised two children, a couple of puppies, one that we walk every single day down the road. We've never felt at risk or of the need to have a sidewalk to walk on, and literally we walk every day down the road. So I won't obviously try to reiterate what all of my neighbors have already said, but I do want it noted that I agree with them that it is completely unnecessary to take away a foot of green space or any of the beautiful trees we have on our boulevard for something that's unnecessary. I am urging the board to reject this entire project as presented due to the inclusion of the sidewalk infrastructure and changes to the street design included in the main construction project. I'm asking that the project be rebid as street reconstruction only, with no changes to the street design or the additions of the sidewalk infrastructure or sidewalks. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ann. Okay, I will accept the motion to pick up the rules. Trustee Sampson. Second by Trustee Atwood. Okay, so we have heard from a lot of folks, and first of all, thank you very much, everyone. Yes.
We need to vote. We have the motion in the second, but we need to vote.
The motion in the second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, Sergeant in Arms. Okay, so we have a motion on the table to approve the base bid and the base bid only, and a second. We've heard from a lot of folks. So, any discussion among the board members?
Just a question for Sean. If we were to put the, if we were to table, what kind of cost would we have incurred? What's it going to cost us to do that?
Are you suggesting that we would potentially redesign the project? I don't know if
I guess I'm just trying to, you know, get a handle on that. I mean, it's not just as easy as, okay, we'll hold it up for now, and the next 2 weeks we'll whatever. There's some significant costs involved here, so I'm just trying to figure out what those are.
If I guess you'd have to provide me a little more information. What are you suggesting that we redo?
Well, the, you know, one of the, it appears to be a common recommendation would be to just do the reconstruction and not the sidewalk or the sidewalk infrastructure. Is that possible based on current bid?
I had reached out to the village attorney to determine if that would be possible. I did not hear back from her. I had also talked to the design consultant. We could, at a cost of roughly $10,000, redesign this project back to the existing conditions. But keep in mind that if we were to do that, then we wouldn't have the ability to we would have the ability to construct sidewalk in the future, but we may jeopardize something that we just constructed. We may have to remove something that we just installed at a later date. Is it possible? Yes, it can be redesigned. I don't know if we could, if we can continue under the current bid. I would have to talk to the village attorney.
Okay. I'd also like to add to that that there have been some comments about dishonesty and maybe some lack of communication. Obviously, there were some communication issues. There was no dishonesty that went on, so I want to make that clear as well. And we obviously don't want to ram something down a bunch of our residents' throats, So I'm certainly willing to think about it, talk about it. But we obviously have a very verbal group in front of us and some nonverbal types in the community that aren't present tonight for whatever reasons.
Okay, thanks. Any other discussion? Matthew?
Sean, I don't know if this is our option or not, but just to go along with what Trustee Genich was asking, if there were changes in that design, if the current bid could not be utilized, what is the likelihood that we could not do the project in 2021 and would have to move it to a different calendar year?
Is it possible? It may be. If we can't, if we're not allowed to amend the plan under the current bid, then we would have to not only spend the time to redesign, but we'd have to rebid, and that takes weeks. And I don't know that we would have enough time to get this project done this year, if that's okay. The case.
I wasn't sure about the timing. All right. Thank you.
Anything else? Brad? In regards to...
Hello?
Hello, whoever's on the iPhone.
I'm still on the phone. I'll call you in a few minutes. It's just about going to the bid right now. Bye.
Okay.
Regarding whether or not you have to rebid the project, and that's what Sean and I are waiting to hear from our attorney, because the state statute reads 15% is up for a bid, and we don't know if it's a reduction or an increase in the bid before it requires a total rebid. So that's the big question we've been waiting from our attorney for that answer. There is the time, as Sean indicated, there is a time delay for re-engineering. It's not re-engineering the entire street. So it's not, it could be subject to the time frame of what the consultant has. They do not have the time to do it within the next week. It's going to take them 3-4 weeks. I don't know. But it could hamper the project's completed this year.
Thank you. So right now, to the best of our knowledge, it's a 15% differential before we have to move that.
That's to the best of our knowledge, correct.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Sampson.
Follow up on that question to Sean. I think I've heard that there is a dollar amount attached to laying asphalt down on the existing footprint as the road exists today. The narrowing, which I don't like that term because it's not going to be a narrow road, it's still going to be very generous. And I'm sorry, but you're talking to a trustee who has a 23-foot road in front of his house, and it's not death, mayhem, and over, you know. It's a smaller run of street, but we do pretty well. So I would maybe, from that perspective, maybe it's a right-sizing more than a narrowing. But if we do leave it as it is today, Sean, the existing bid is for a roadway that is not quite as wide, although in my view still ample, and I thought that was about a $90,000 expense. You wouldn't think it adds up, but 4 feet across a quarter mile or a half mile stretch, is that about what would the bid would come in higher, even if it was identical to the one that's before us? You're on mute, I believe.
That cost estimate that I had put together was for the entire length of Roselawn from Webster to Riverside Drive, and it also included the maintenance efforts in the future over the life of the pavement. My best guess would be that we're going to obviously see a slight increase in the overall project cost. for just the segment that we're talking about tonight. If that's the case, by state statute, as Brad mentioned, we can increase the quantity of work up to 15% of the contract amount. So there's a chance, but I'm waiting to hear from the village attorney.
Okay, thank you.
When do you think we'll hear from the attorney?
I was hopeful to hear from her on Monday. Soon.
No, we reached out to her over a week ago.
Okay. Any other comments from village board members? Matthew?
I think in some of the different things that have been talked about tonight, I think it was mentioned during the Beaumont discussion. I believe one of the residents brought it up during the Roselawn discussion, is that this is a 50, 60, whatever time frame you're looking at in terms of reconstruction happening, and that most of us on the call probably won't be around in 50, 60 years. But the option of, and I'm just kind of thinking out loud, the option of the road being engineered to move over by 2.5 feet at the boulevard area allows for future sidewalks, so that if there were a desire to put them in and we don't do it, we'd still have that opportunity. Whereas if it gets constructed without, then that opportunity is gone for 50, 60 years. I think I'm stating that right, just to kind of, like I said, I'm kind of just thinking out loud of what the options are.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this street was engineered so that we could construct sidewalk either in conjunction with this project or in the future. We had, at the island areas, we had shifted the north half of the roadway over 2.5 feet. We had taken that out of the island areas to accommodate for a 6-foot terrace and a 5-foot walk, along with a half-foot area behind the back of sidewalk for future maintenance purposes. So if we redesign it, I would need direction on how you want it redesigned, but I think I understand, but I'd want direction on how to redesign it and go from there.
My take on the whole thing is, and I had a good conversation with several of you, I don't disagree with you on sidewalks for all the reasons I gave when we were talking about Beaumont. I would personally like a sidewalk on Roselawn because I do walk, and as I said in the December 9th Public Works meeting, I would like a sidewalk on Briar Lane. I like sidewalks. But my personal opinion doesn't matter in this. But I do care about the safety of people, and it's our job as village trustees and staff to provide safe passage for folks. And quite honestly, I don't think Roselawn is terribly safe. I'll agree. I've never heard of anyone getting hit, so I could be wrong. But what one resident came to me saying was, how about this? How about you don't do the sidewalks, and instead you put a pedestrian lane on maybe one side of the street, maybe two, I don't know, but a pedestrian lane, much like a bike lane, and to put up a sign saying speed limit 15 miles per hour when pedestrians are present, that sort of thing. And
I'll tell you honestly, I didn't, when I walk Roselawn and we get to an area where the islands are, I was surprised to find out that piece of road is 20 feet wide. So in each direction, you have a road 20 feet wide, which, as Sean told me, is plenty wide for a car, and you know, you need, what, 8 to 10 to 12 feet, depending on the vehicle. But we have 20 in each direction. So the resident who brought this up to me said, how about trying a pilot project? How about not doing the sidewalks and putting striping a pedestrian lane to see how that works? I thought it was a very creative idea, to tell you the truth. And with having said that, it is our job to prepare for the future. And I would suggest, personally, and I'm on the Public Works Committee, I would want any road that is reconstructed in the village of Alloway to take into consideration the opportunity to engineer it so that a sidewalk can be placed there at some point in time. I don't know if that'll happen. So I am in favor of engineering as though there could be a sidewalk at some point in the future. But I don't think I'm in favor of putting a sidewalk there now. I'd be kind of excited to try the whole idea of a pedestrian. Because I do think when you drive down, let's say, Hoffman, you drive down Hoffman as an example, and we have a bike lane. Drivers know they're supposed to stay in between the lines. And if you have a line on your right for a pedestrian lane and a boulevard to the left, you're not going to run into the trees. So you have your alley. And that would personally make me feel safer as a pedestrian while I'm walking, especially if I was pushing a stroller or walking a dog or any of that. So I will throw that out there. I don't know that that requires an amended solution from what Trustee Genrich says, because the only additional cost would be the striping of a lane and a couple of signs, and I think the striping of the lane is 25 cents per foot. So it's not an expensive proposition. You have to maintain it. But quite honestly, I think that would be kind of an intriguing idea. So, any thoughts on that among my fellow trustees?
Jim, I do. This is Penny. I didn't think I would be thinking in the direction I am now, but because I'm all for sidewalks. I have all, since I've been on the board, all the things would get across the street, you know, on the sidewalks. And I think they're very important. And I was just, when Trevor put up the map of Pier, Alloway, and Green Bay, and all the red marks were on for sidewalks, we hardly have any. We are not walkable at all. With that said, there's also another thing that I'm considering here, and that Roselawn Boulevard may be a historic significance in a way that it shouldn't be tampered with. Can't we have something, and we can't do that everywhere, but is it significant enough that we would, you know, do it a different way and go about finding a different way across? It just sounds like if there's that many people with that much emotion to be supporting this, I just think it might be something worth saving. I think of my mother in Sarasota, and she's on this little winding road on the bayou, and it is a gorgeous road with flowers and trees, and it's disappearing. Is it something we want to look at and say, hey, this is really important. This is part of who we are. And maybe it's just like a little section, but could it be just the way it's built that we give it the significance that we would want to keep it the way it is?
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else from the board?
I'd like to jump in. I'm sorry, Jim. To echo what Penny said, and also President Rafter, I asked whether we could just put bike route signs at both ends, whether we needed a legal width or even a stripe painted down, because it is a beautiful. It's a showcase for Alloway. It's the first street on that part of the south end of the village. And I'm really impressed by all the passion that people have for that really unique street. But you could make it more inviting by, recommending that people try it out as a bike lane, and they enjoy the beauty. So I see that as a little bit of a compromise. And in that same way, Penny, and has been said, there's a 100-foot right-of-way. There are where it's the widest, I think, by the islands. And I can't think there's any other developments in Alloway that have a 100-foot right-of-way anywhere. So that was a great commitment back in the 50s, I guess it was. And we honor that by doing what we do. And I'm with both of you on the sidewalks. In general, we have to listen to all the village residents. And in general, they're in favor of the concept of better sidewalks and bike lanes. But that doesn't mean we have to have it uniformly, and for the reasons, maybe Roselawn doesn't have the sidewalks. On the width, and I was being a little flip or a little facetious earlier, but there are a lot of narrower streets in Alloway. And somebody who doesn't live there sees very generous islands that the village maintains, and that's nice. But I think it would be imperceptible to shave those back a couple feet. I can't believe by modern traffic counts or engineering standards that there's any danger anybody could prove by shaving those back a couple of feet. And the benefits, I already raised the cost that we would save a little bit on paving and maintenance costs. But at the other time, where everybody's talking about being green, we'd be hiding less land under pavement. I'll honor what they did 60 years ago, but they were driving big 25-foot-long Chryslers and Cadillacs with 15 feet of fins on the back. And now there are some smaller, there are some bigger SUVs, but they all have the sensor. Cars are safer nowadays, I guess is what I'm getting at, and have better visibility. And it's already a 20-foot, even where it's a half a lane, it's already a pretty generous street. And cutting back the islands, we would be more than gaining it back. If there's no longer 20 feet of pavement, but there's 18 feet, the neighbors are gaining green space. We would be adding to the green space by, my term, right-sizing this road. So, and also not to mention, the Fox River is there, and it's an incremental amount, but in general, rainfall precipitation does better when it's not going right out onto the street, but filters down and is cleaned by the soil and the grass. And I think it's a win-win to go with the smaller footprint. And I think the people who live there as kids and come back years later probably wouldn't even notice it. And again, it'll still be an absolute showcase street for Alloway, as it always has been and always will be. So I will vote against the sidewalks in this case, but for changing the road footprint slightly as is proposed. Thank you.
Anyone else from the board?
I had a conversation, it may have been with that same resident, I can't say because I didn't ask him if I could quote him or whatever, but I agree, that's what he said about pedestrian lanes with striping and see how that would go. But going back to Sean, how do we make that adjustment? Can we do that with this current plan?
You're on mute, Sean.
Sorry about that. Under the current design, could simply go out and mark an edge line. 10 feet from the center line or 11 feet. And then anything from the edge line to the face of the curb or to the flange would be considered a shoulder. And It would accommodate multiple purposes, parking and pedestrian use. So that is possible. At the islands, yes, we have 17 and a half feet of asphalt, and then if you add the gutter pan on each side, it's 20 feet. So yeah, that there's plenty of space to do that at the islands. Where we're proposing to narrow the roadway, we have a 32-foot clear opening width from face of curb to face of curb. There's...
Thank you, John.
Yes, thank you. That really wouldn't impact the bid or at all, right?
No, we would mark that ourselves. We do the marking and the signing ourselves.
Thank you. Okay. What else from my board member? So right now we have a motion on the table by Trustee Genrick to approve the base bid and not any of the alternates. And we have a second. What other discussion do we have, folks?
I'd be willing to adjust that motion or reword it if that would help to include the biked pedestrian lanes or whatever.
Okay.
If that needs to be. I don't know if it needs to be added.
Okay. Well, you can surely add that in as an opportunity.
Okay. You let the record indicate that I would add that in there for consideration, inclusion.
Okay. And who was the second, Lynn?
I was, yeah. And that is good.
Okay. Any other discussion on adding that to the motion from anyone?
I think however we end up, trying the bike lane is a good option just as an experiment. It may be something we try for a year, it doesn't work out well, and get rid of the paint. So I think it would be good as something just to try no matter what.
Okay. Well, a few comments from me before we take a vote or ask anything else. I do want to thank everyone. I think we had 69 on at one point in time. So I hope whatever the vote comes to be, I surely hope that you have been heard. We are your neighbors. We love Alloway. That's why we do this, because we want to help Alloway be a great place to live. And I think Trustee Sampson said, we're not interested in shoving sidewalks down people's throats. We're tasked with providing safe passage for pedestrians. We engaged a group of people and had public meetings, and so we do the best with the information we have. To your point on the communication, yes, we are going to improve that, but that's not going to change this project. But it's your being at this meeting, you sending the emails, you talking to us on the telephone, meeting with us on your street. That's how we do it. And I don't know of a better way to tell you the truth, because we all got together. And so, any last comments from the board before we take a vote?
I would just second, if I could, President Raptor, your comments about the interaction I've had with the residents who have brought up ideas that we need for the entire process. So I would say thank you.
Okay. And I'm going to throw something else in there. It's only 9:29. We haven't heard from our attorneys on redoing the bid and what that would impact. How can we deal with that?
Is it Raptor?
Yes.
I guess clarification on what you're going to be asking from the attorney. Is it if we were to redesign the road to its current standards, so obviously it's not a redesign, but design the road to its current standards, and include the bike lane doesn't matter because it's not an expense that we're asking the contractor to do. But if that is the direction, we can try to communicate with the attorney tomorrow morning, get clarification on that, and bring that back to the board. This really is like tomorrow's Wednesday, maybe Friday or next week, have a special meeting for this discussion. But you have to we need to know if we're looking at going forward with the design that is there, that has been created, which was the road for future sidewalks, or are we going back to the current standards?
Okay, good point. Okay, thank you for that clarification. I go back to, it's part of our responsibility to provide, to look into the crystal ball to the best of our ability, and losing a couple of feet, while it's not desirable in some people's eyes, I guarantee you the roadway is going to be beautiful, and at least in my opinion, and we will hold the historic beauty of that street, and I agree with everyone who said that, by the way. So I hope that this is a good compromise where the biggest concern I heard was we don't want sidewalks, and for privacy issues and many different reasons, and I concur. And as long as we can try to provide the safe passage and give the stripe a chance, I'm good with that. So we have a motion. Matthew, did you have a
question? I apologize, but I'm not sure I'm 100% following everything that we're doing. I don't want to misconstrue something. So tonight, along with the feedback, how does that tie in with the feedback that we might get from the village attorney?
What's on the table right now would not require the feedback from the village attorney.
Correct. Understood. That part I've got.
Yeah. So the reason to wait for the attorney is if we are going to redesign and ultimately probably rebid the project and potentially delay the project, potentially not. And I personally, I'm very happy with I feel good about the proposal that's on the table right now, because I think it protects the interests of the people who live there today, and I think it protects the interests of the people who will live there in the future. Unless someone else has a different idea, but we've got the motion from Trustee Genrick and a second. Is there any other discussion?
Can we wait to hear from the attorney before we vote?
Would you
If we're voting for what's on the table right now, the infrastructure is included.
Yep.
And
so would you like to make a substitute motion?
I would like to make a substitute motion if we can wait to hear from the attorney before we make this decision.
Okay. I have a substitute motion to wait until we have the word from the attorney on. Okay. Wait a second. I will second that. Any discussion? Matthew?
So if we hear, trying to make sure I lay out the steps in my brain. So if we hear, so we're going to. We would, if we follow through on this substitute motion, nothing would happen tonight with regard to the Roselawn project until we hear from the attorney, and then we'd have to reconvene into another meeting to go over what we hear from the village attorney.
That is correct.
Am I following that?
That right? Would be my intention.
Yep, you're hearing that correct. There is no decision it would be no decision on the project tonight. We'll find out if we would have to rebid and have the associated costs and
timeline too.
And timeline. So I'm hoping that delaying a decision on this, if we choose to do that, will not jeopardize the current quote bids. Sean, how long are these bids good for?
60 days.
Okay, so we're in that time frame, right?
Date of bid opening, Sean? Pardon me, President Raptor.
Nope.
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, keep in mind we don't have 60 days. If we're going to move ahead with this project, we need to do it rather quickly. So.
Okay.
How many days do we have, President Raptor, before the 60 days expires?
Sean, when did we open the bids?
On the 23rd.
Okay. So in theory, we have a couple of months, but it won't take that long.
I think we'd lose out on the construction time then if we waited that long.
Yeah.
We don't have a couple of months. We've got about 5 weeks. No, we do have a couple of months. You're right. I'm corrected. So my apologies.
Brad,
just a couple things. We can reach out to the engineering firm that designed the road, find out their time frame, in conjunction with talking to our attorney, as well as having that discussion with the apparent low bidder, just to get all that communication on the table as far as what our options are going to be. So that come Friday, come Monday, come Tuesday, whenever it is that we're able to reconvene, we can have all that information for you to make that decision.
Okay.
I do also want to share with the board on April 20th will be the preliminary resolution for bonding. Now, what we need to do is for the preliminary is to make sure that we have a not to exceed cost that we're bonding for, and they're broken out into the various entities, water sewer streets, sanitary sewer. So this shouldn't affect this much. I think we'll be still okay to be able to keep that time frame. It will be that the desired date for the preliminary resolutions.
Okay.
So we got a lot of work to do in the next tomorrow to try to get some of these answers, and if we can get the answers tomorrow, we'll reach out to the board on a date for a meeting, and then we've got, I think, probably everyone's emails that we can at least do that communication so that they know where we're at.
Yeah. And while we probably have emails, I'm going to request everyone on this, now we're down to 61, but still, all 61 of you, and tell your neighbors if they're not on, please go to the village website and sign up for the email list, because Carrie will send out a notification when the next thing is, and you'll hear about all the other great things that go on in Alloy. So please, please do that. Okay, so we have a motion on the table to Chris.
One more question. So is there any chance that by delaying a final decision for a couple more weeks, maybe a month, we will run into higher bonding costs or construction bidding costs? Well, the issue is going to be whether we have to rebid, but that's 50-50, whether we rebid and whether it comes in higher. And I thought we benefited greatly because Sean and his team bid everything out so early this year. We were first in line. I thought that paid dividends. Quote me odds of this delay costing us money in the long run.
A rebid, I think you're probably a 50-50 shot. You're not going to get the same price.
Which was a good price, a very good price. Yep.
Yeah.
There was a lot of bids, though. There was an awful lot of bids. I don't think I've ever seen that many bids. Isn't that a lot? 11?
Yeah, there was. But things can change 2 to 3 weeks from now. They're bidding work. So.
Well, and I don't see us going there. I see us having another meeting next week and coming to a decision with the information we have. We should be able to gather that information by then. Right, Brad? You're on mute.
I sure hope so. Be on the phone tomorrow.
Okay. Well, let's keep this updated. We don't want it to go too long, but I do think, with all things being considered, I think it's the responsible thing to do. It's my opinion. In my opinion only. Okay, so we have a motion to postpone the decision on this until such time as we have the information we need, or we're waiting for from the attorney to determine if we have to rebid or not. We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion?
Well, again, just to clarify, I can vote right now in favor of the street footprint as it exists, becoming a little narrower and right sizing. And so I would tend to
that under this motion. And the previous motion is no longer on the table, unless this is defeated.
Okay. Well, then my inclination maybe would be to vote against it for those reasons, because I think the plan as was presented to us for the first vote tonight, not the first vote, the first motion on the Rose Lawn issue, has benefits regardless. But as long as you're saying that it'll be within a week, and there really isn't a risk of delaying and increasing the cost, I guess I should support Penny's motion there. I just talked myself into it. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, when we meet next week,
well,
if we have more information, to me, doing that's not off the table purely by this motion. This motion, yes,
we do it our week.
And next time we will have, somebody might introduce a motion for the slim down road width. Somebody might introduce a motion to leave the current road design footprint as is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct.
Now there's more information that some believe that we need to make an informed decision.
Very good.
So let's get that information and come to an informed decision. Okay. Any other discussion? Any other ideas, Chris? Oh, there's Matthew. Okay.
Just a comment is that we don't necessarily, depending on how quickly we get the information, we don't necessarily have to wait until next week to have a meeting. If we get the information quickly enough, it could happen still this week.
It could if we have the amount of time for notice.
Right. I just don't want anyone to work off the assumption that it has to be next week. That's all.
Correct. Okay. Any other discussion? It has been a great one. And I thank you all for being part of it. So we have a motion to postpone discussion on this until such time as we have more information from our attorney. And a second. So, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Unanimously passed. I thank you all very much for taking the time to be with us. Mm-hmm. Please don't be strangers. I'm guessing we might see you at the next meeting. But I hope we get to see you at a lot more meetings. And hope to see you when we're walking Roseland. So, with that being said, we will move on to the next agenda item.
I'd just like to say I'd like Roseland on my team if we ever have anything going on.
There you go.
Strong group.
Very influential group. No. Great. We're all neighbors. Number 9, consent agenda will take 9A through C. I have a motion on the agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Trustee Genrich, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Trustee Atwood, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Item number 10, anything a village board member would like to see on a future agenda? Hearing none, we will move on to item number 11. Do I have a motion to convene in the closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 1985-1E, deliberating or negotiating the purchasing of public properties, the investing of public funds, or conducting other specified public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session, specifically a developer?
So I'll move.
Trustee Dennis.